There's a lot of headlines I could choose to read from tonight. Instead, I'm going to ask that we take a very critical look at ourselves and our peers. Choose togetherness and fun, not exclusive elitism and derision. Stay tuned for the discussion of this week's news, starting right now.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight for 19 November 2017, episode number 707 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, here to talk with you over the next few hours about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle here live in our studio N7 based in lovely Sacramento, California. Not here tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She will not be joining us tonight. She works with some other, she has some other hobbies and some other organizations she works with on the side, and she's actually doing a charity fundraiser tonight because, you know, it is that kind of season for a lot of fundraising with Thanksgiving coming up the next week. So, you know, a worthy reason for her to be gone tonight. So she will not be with us tonight. She'll be back next week. Joining me in studio, though, is Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Welcome back.
Yes.
So we weren't here last week because I was on vacation, so... You know, hope you guys all had a good, you know, long weekend and what have you. Did you do anything exciting with your night off in the show?
No.
No? I'm sorry to hear that.
Well,
no Lego building? No video game playing with the kids?
No. I think I took the kids somewhere. I don't remember what I did with them.
Gotcha.
I think we just went to the store.
I know. I can't even...
No. I remember now. We went to the mall because my wife was going to look at iPhones. And then We went to the Apple store, and I don't get how they think that that's how store should be, because that's stupid.
Was it overrun with people?
It was just dumb. It's like, oh, yeah, you have to make an appointment and wait 20 minutes for someone to help you buy a phone that you know you want. And my wife's like, fuck that.
You can get away with it because people do it. But, of course, I don't know. I did buy the iPhone 10. I did it all
online.
It's
so courageous of them to lay their stores out in a really shitty configuration.
Oh, stop. All right. Always joining us here is our chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell Show. And you can join us in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. It works again. Bobby, our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who does the show before us, he did the tech stuff behind the scenes and switched out the chat box. So it does work again over at live.vognetwork.com. Or if you're old school and have an IRC client, you can always just join the Game Surge Network and channel VOG, and that's where we're at, for those of you that know what I'm talking about. Not everybody even knows like what IRC is anymore. We do have a Discord service for those of you that are, you know, into the newer stuff. You can check out our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord, and we'll get into some of that in just a little bit. I can't believe time flies. Like I'm not surprised that you can't remember even going to the mall last week, because Seattle feels like it was an eternity ago.
Well, it was.
Even though it was just a week, right? So, a lot happened in gaming over the past couple weeks, but certainly one story is kind of taking the cake this week. So I think we need to kind of address that here at the top of the show. And we just had, like, I don't want to repeat ourselves too much, because we just had a kickoff topic not even, 3 weeks ago involving loot boxes.
Yeah.
And yet
they're all the rage.
This has just really dominated the conversation in gaming culture over the past couple weeks. And even I got to give a shout out to our friend of the network, Dungeon Buster, who did some great articles kind of summarizing this over at VogNetwork.com. But the whole debacle over loot boxes in Star Wars Battlefront 2. So I know many of you have been following this, but Loki, for those that aren't aware, like, what the problem is, can you kind of like dumb it down and summarize it for us? What's the problem that people are having?
The main complaint about loot boxes in Star Wars Battlefront 2 was that a lot of the things featured in those loot boxes were actual buffs to the game to basically give you an advantage. So if you wanted to, you could pay to win in that game. And so, like, they were having things like, for example, one of the abilities that Boba Fett has while using his jetpack, he's actually could be invulnerable. So that's one of the things you can unlock if you pay enough money or, you know, happen to get enough loot boxes that would allow you to get those star cards. And then I guess the whole progression system was also tied to how many cards you had. It was just, like, very... much integrated in the game. And so, you know, people kind of heard that there was loot boxes in it, and then they had this whole kind of early access type thing that they were doing. I'm guessing with people that pre-ordered the game or had some sort of special bundle that they bought.
It's that whole paying for EA subscription service. The same thing happened with Andromeda. When Mass Effect Andromeda went live on the EA Access service, which you have to pay like a monthly fee to use, people saw all the flaws early, and it kind of shot the pre-orders. You know, as people were starting to cancel pre-orders, it really shot the momentum that that game had on its release in the foot. For better or for worse, I don't know. Some people would say for worse, because all those pre-orders getting canceled kind of wrecked the series, even though a lot of those issues got taken care of via patch. Some people would say for better, because people should know that the game they're about to get does have bugs in it and was a little undercooked, I suppose.
So. Well, and that's what the issue was last year, was the game was undercooked. Remember, when it came out, it was very lacking content. And then on top of that $60 game, they wanted you to pay $50 for a season pass to get the rest of the maps that probably should have been the game in the first place. And so people were like, well, wait, why am I paying $110 for this game that was kind of just mediocre?
Yeah.
And so now, you know, this comes out. And so what happened was, is people did math. So it started with a post on Reddit where some guy figured out, you know, about how many credits you get per match and how much that would take. How long it would take, or how many matches you would need before you would get loot boxes, and how many, you know, loot boxes, or to buy. Actually, you can actually buy the characters directly as well, I think, or you can pay money to unlock certain things, or you can try to gamble them in loot boxes. So they just calculated how long it would take to do that. And so originally it was like, okay, 40 hours to unlock. I think it was like 40 hours or 120. This is 40 to, I don't remember now, because they've switched it around so many times. So a lot of hours, like 40 hours to unlock one character. I think to unlock everything was like over 120, 160 hours. So just like an insane amount of time to, you know, that's in-game playing matches and stuff. So that's quite a bit. And then basically that, you know, a lot of people were just fucking pissed about that. And so then I think EA kind of responded to one of the, you know, to that thread, and that got, you know, the massive downvotes, you know, making history as one of the most downvoted threads ever.
The most downvoted comment, and not by a little bit.
Yes, by several hundred thousand. Yeah. So, you know, people were very angry about that. So EA kind of went back a little bit on it, and they reduced the amount of the cost for those characters by 75%. So it wouldn't take as long. Also, with that, though, they forgot to mention that they also reduced the amount of credits that you get at the end of the game by completing the game by 75% as well. And then other things kind of snuck its way in, like cooldowns for playing arcade mode. So people have been showing that there's, you know, like a 3-hour cooldown, but I've seen other screenshots where it could be 14 hours or a day before you can earn more points in the offline multiplayer mode. So if you didn't even want to play online, you just want to unlock the characters to play offline, yeah, good luck with that.
So would it be correct to say that the problem overall, and I'm going to really try to generalize the feedback we're hearing on a large scale, because there's always going to be outliers and extreme opinions one way or the other, but would it be safe to say the general problem with this loot box issue is that it's not the fact that Battlefront has loot boxes, it's the way they were implemented?
I think it's the way that they're implemented, and that it seems very greedy. And it's just been kind of slowly ramping up with all these games coming out just recently, even having loot boxes in them, and very like almost like shoehorning them in there in different ways. Like with, you know, the whole Lord of the Rings game that came out that had that in there, the Shadow of War, that kind of added those in the last minute. There was, you know, Call of Duty's been adding that stuff in there, and it just seemed very out of place. And there was the whole controversy about having the, you know, the patent for the different ways that they're kind of trying to manipulate you into getting loot boxes. And even Battlefront kind of has that, because, you know, when you finish the campaign, they could just unlock the character for you, but no, they give you credits so that you have to go unlock a loot box. So you kind of get into that, ooh, you know, maybe I'll get something good, or, you know, I could just buy this character outright or something like that, even if you wanted the character or not. I don't know.
Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, a Dungeon Buster who wrote those articles at Vogue earlier this week actually is in our chat room commenting, and I know he's researched this issue well because his comments or his articles were very well sourced. Dungeon Buster says, the grind is still bad. Credit awards at the end of matches are still pretty terrible. A player that doesn't contribute as much can earn as many credits as the MVP. Let's talk a little bit about what's kind of happened now. So loot boxes were in there, and then so there was feedback, to say the least.
You're right.
And so now EA has rolled back. When I talk about feedback, though, I really quickly want to address, because, you know, Jason kind of alluded to it in tonight's intro a little bit, but there were obviously people on Twitter being shitty with death threats and things like that.
Hold on with that. Okay. So with that, there was a dev that was complaining they were getting death threats, uh-huh. and they came to find out, Kotaku ran the whole thing on it. That person wasn't actually a dev for EA.
Oh, interesting.
It was just trolling. So, not to say that people would make death threats, because people make death threats over stupid shit.
Yeah,
and it's a really shitty thing, but
here's the thing, Loki. It's easy to believe because it's happened before. So, it's, you know, like, people need to stop being shitty, for one. But I would like to think, for the most part, that is just an extremely vocal, extreme minority of consumers
right.
whose opinions, honestly, if you're going to resort to that, don't matter. Like, you know, right? I know we say we're the show where every gamer has a voice, but if you're going to give death threats to people, not you, okay? Like,
right, yeah.
There's going to be a little asterisk by that.
Well,
every
and also,
gamer,
like, the
but not you if
the
you're
going
to be like
that.
The person
that allegedly was on, you know, Twitter, isn't. They're not the people that are actually, making these decisions, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's obviously not that.
Okay, so outliers aside.
Yeah, okay, so that aside. So they pulled back. They basically said, we hear you. We're going to go ahead and disable purchases of those in-game currencies temporarily while we evaluate and balance. Basically, their way of saving face to try to get people to, because there's some people that easily forgive them and be like, oh, okay, well, they see they turned it off because they're not paying attention, and they're going to go buy the game now. That's what they were trying to do. And also because allegedly someone from Disney contacted EA, said, what the fuck are you doing with Star Wars? And, you know, basically just trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that wasn't Dungeon Buster's second
heat.
Piece. It sounds like it was actually Bob Iger. Although that's up and up at Disney. So that's pretty alarming if, you know, Disney got into that feedback and actually made a nasty phone call to EA.
But, like, I honestly, like, I was kind of interested in this game originally when they showed, like, oh, there's a single-player campaign now. And
sure.
I was like, oh, that's a really cool twist and stuff. And I was kind of excited to get on board with it. Not anymore. Not even going to plan on picking it up because it's just, it's such a mess. And I don't want to give them money for this kind of shit because all of the publishers are starting to do this shit. And it's not, and we can dog on EA, but it's Activision, it's Warner Brothers, it's Take-Two. They're all doing this shit. And it's getting worse. And I understand Bobby wants to defend them by saying, you know, development costs are going up for 4K graphics or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, you know what? I don't believe that. And I think that a lot of this stems from, you know what? Yes, the cost may be going up. I don't think that's why they're doing it, though. Don't get me wrong. They know they can make money off of it because they've been doing this stuff with their Ultimate Team in FIFA. And don't give me this shit that they really improve the game every year, like polishing those graphics. Fuck, they do nothing to that shit. Okay, so they're making buku money off of this. They can see what the mobile market does and how people are spending money on this stuff. And they're trying to integrate that into games because even Activision has said before, they make more money off of in-game purchases than they do off the physical copies of their games. So that's why they're doing these games as service stuff now, because they know they can make tons of money off of it. And Battlefront 2, yeah, it's got great graphics and stuff, but the game is buggy as shit. And a lot of these games that are coming out are still like, feel like early access titles that are being released. So I don't buy for a second. If we were getting like higher quality games that are even more fun, I might be able to just kind of say, okay, well, I don't mind paying a little extra for that. But they're already paying extra from up front with all these different collectors and loot boxes and additions and stuff like that. I'm prepaying for DLC now, which is basically, you know, these season passes. And half the time the games come out and they're broken or buggy. Like, look at the South Park game on PC. It was all fucked up just because rushed out.
So, okay, I agree with you, and I don't agree with you. And where I don't agree with you, I don't agree with you when you say that you don't believe that the games cost more to make. They cost more to make, period. Like, there's stats to back that up, reports, and how the industry's hiring, these companies are getting bigger. And logically, to make a 4K video game, that is more artist hours to make a 4K texture. That is going to be the case. However, where I do agree with you is that I think this whole loot box thing is a case of it's worked well here, so we're pushing it here and we're shoving it into this pigeonhole. We're shoving it because we have found that we can make money off loot boxes. Like, you know, EA has gone on record saying that some Mass Effect 3 player made $15,000 off, or I'm sorry, spent like $15,000 legitimately, not stolen, on loot boxes. So people will spend money on this shit.
But do we have any of these? Do we show numbers that EA's actually hiring more artists? Are they paying them more money for this stuff? Are they paying them any sort of dividends for the sales of these games? Because the upfront costs of paying for these artists and stuff. I mean, look at Grand Theft Auto 4 or 5 or whatever. They spent millions of dollars on that, and they recoup that money in just the standard game sales alone. And then now you have all this microtransactions you get from – well, that's not so bad because it's just like DLC stuff. It's not like loot boxes and stuff yet. Well, yet, because I'm sure whatever they have cooked up for, you know, Red Dead 2 or something is going to be bad. But – they already have paid – they've made so much money from this stuff already, made the, recoup their money. I just don't believe that – not all of these games that are costing $60 with this microtransaction in there are like these fantastic, incredible-looking games. They're just the same as the stuff that comes out from other companies that don't do this shit. Look at Witcher 3. The Witcher 3 is a fucking great-looking game. Very well reviewed, lots of detail in there, high quality, free DLC for the most part, I think. They're able to make a profit.
There is
just
some paid DLC for Witcher.
Okay,
there's a lot
of free stuff in there as well. But they're able to make their money just fine. So why is it that another company can't do it as well? And I get it, you're paying for the Star Wars IP. Okay. But no one said you had to make a Star Wars game.
Let me ask a couple questions from your perspective, because here's my thing. Would you be angry if they were charging, just say, hey, $5 to play as Vader in the store? $5 to do Vader, or $5 to do, in other words, instead of this loot box thing, just straight up, you know, a storefront that says it's straight up $5, $10 for these characters and these options. Would that, I don't know, what offend you the way the loot box thing is?
It's already what they – I mean, I think it's a shitty practice, but that's what they've done in the past with – that's so what Capcom does with Street Fighter characters.
Where did we go from DLC to loot boxes?
They can make more money.
Because it's gambling.
It's gambling. It's not technically gambling, but it's gambling because you're getting something random. You don't know what you're getting, and a lot of times what you want – is not what you're getting. And so you're like, oh man, maybe the next time, and maybe the next time, and maybe the next time. And it gets you in a cycle where you're spending more money than, you know, what it costs to buy the thing outright. It's just like, you know, you can look at an arcade, for example. That's why they have crane games. Yes, you're gambling that you can get that stuffed animal out of there for a dollar instead of paying the price, whatever it was that you would pay for, you know, from some place. So that's the kind of the gamble there. It's you don't know. I mean, obviously they have things working against you, but it's basically gambling. You're taking a bet that you're going to put some money in there and get something really nice out, but it's not guaranteed. And so people can get very addicted to that stuff.
Well, okay, but all this stuff aside, so and I want to be fair, I want to go to our chat room and read some other opinions here over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby is talking a lot in our chat saying it takes an artist longer to make something in 4K than it does to make something in 1080 than it does to make something in SD. So even if the artist makes the same amount per hour as they did before, they are spending more hours on each item. Witcher 3 was also made in Eastern Europe where they were able to pay the people less. The devs there don't have as high of a salary as people in the U.S. do. That's where we outsource all of our developers when people don't want to pay for U.S. devs, India and Eastern Europe. Let's see. All other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD in chat says, crane games at least still have skill as a factor. They're not completely random, even if the odds are stacked against you because the crane has been weakened, etc. Dungeon Buster points out CD Projekt from Witcher 3 has GOG, which is sure to help with the bills. To be fair, in this scenario, EA has Origin, so, you know, that cancels each other out, I suppose.
And they also have that stupid thing that you can purchase the service where you can play their games early, and you pay that monthly fee. So they also have that backing them
which
up
has been,
well.
In my opinion, has shot them in the foot this entire year because people are figuring this shit out because of that.
Well, they're shoehorning this shit in all these games to either make them long. You know, look at Even Need for Speed has this shit.
Well, let me point out from SSG 100 Matt, EA has taken notice that their EA Sports games have made a boatload of money through their Ultimate Team mode in Madden, FIFA, and NHL games. That mode is pretty much pay to win in the game. EA has made more money in that game's loot boxes or cards than with the sale of the actual game. EA has seen this and wants to incorporate it in all their games. So, but now here's has the ice broken on this? I mean, will there be an effect of this pushback? And like, I even know people on Twitter who I would consider more casual gamers, but they're into Star Wars. I'm thinking of one friend of mine specifically, one of my old college buddies, was tweeting, "I went into GameStop to cancel my pre-order for Battlefront 2 and referenced specifically the Ars Technica review that basically was like, nope, 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 nope. So he canceled his pre-order, and he said that the folks at GameStop supported him in his decision vocally. So this whole thing, whether you like it, whether you agree with it or not, I think it's safe to say that this whole thing has backfired spectacularly with a game, you know, that is really important to EA right now. And so EA has had to go full circle, full stop, and basically, you know, take out the loot boxes, at least for now, or whatever they're doing. We don't know what they're doing. They've put out a statement that said the microtransactions are disabled. We've heard the player feedback.
You just can't buy currency right now.
Right.
But they're going to enable it later.
Well, I would think what's going to happen, and this is just, you know, me speculating. I have nothing to base this on. But EA is going to have to dial it back to cosmetics in the loot boxes and the currency, because that's what works for Overwatch. That's what works for a lot of the games that are out there now. And they're going to have to put those unlockable characters and those things that give the in-game advantages, like the ship speed and whatever those other things are. Those are going to have to be some type of earned in-game currency or something else. They're going to have to dial that back too. So I would fully expect that the loot, or excuse me, the EA's thing will come back with two currencies.
I don't think it will. I think all it's going to do is after some time, they're going to enable them back in. Mm-hmm. After you've already purchased the game, you can't return it anymore. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring it back in and said, we've evaluated and everything. We balanced it. They may tweak some of the values or whatever and then leave it as that. And they're going to put it in there because they want money. They're going to say they justify it because they need to put out these additional maps or whatever that they're developing. Honestly, here's my problem, and I don't like people that excuse this crap. Whatever reason, Bobby, if he wants to say it's because they need money for development, other people because they say it's only for cosmetics, you give them a fucking inch, they're going to take it all. And so this is what we have. We've excused this shit for cosmetics now, and look where it's gotten. Look at where it's gotten now. It's just like these companies have been hell-bent on doing this stuff. Like, whether it's like driving a franchise into the ground by releasing tons of games in there, Activision, or by trying to do online passes, EA.
But has it, Loki? That's the whole point, I think. Your argument won. This is what's happened. EA has failed this spectacularly on a USA Today level stage, where now everybody is reporting on this. I mean, this is the end game for that, right?
No, it's not. It's gonna get worse.
So you think even though EA has failed on this level and has had to dial this back, we're still going to get more of this?
Yeah, I think this is – people are going to buy this game. They're going to buy this game because they're going to forgive them because it's Star Wars. Or there's going to be some shiny game down the road that they're going to want to buy. I think Red Dead Redemption could be a good indicator because Red Dead's going to definitely have some sort of online mode. It's definitely going to have some sort of microtransactions in there. They've already said they're going to do that. That's a game that a lot of people can't resist. I can't resist that game because it's fucking Red Dead, and I will buy it. But that's the problem. It's like they're going to find something that you want. They're going to tweak it to find something that you want, and then you're going to buy it, and you're going to get stuck in this, and the whole cycle's going to continue. So all they're doing, they're not getting rid of it. They're just tweaking their game a bit.
All right. Let's get to some comments in chat. Dungeon Buster says, it will be back. EA will lick its wounds and take baby steps, such as when Ubisoft experienced its own backlash years ago, as with AC Unity and its own push with Helix. Come on, Nolgus says, they just need to get out of the doghouse with Disney. SG 100 Matt says, loot boxes are sadly the present of multiplayer games. Dungeon Buster says, other companies are looking at EA and taking notes on what not to do. And Bobby says, to Loki's point, Bethesda failed horribly with Horse Armor DLC. That was the first time DLC was introduced. DLC is commonplace now.
And look at what Bethesda's doing now. with their paid mods. Thank you, Bethesda. And they still haven't learned from their fucking lessons.
I just kind of think, like, it's not that I totally disagree with what you guys are saying. I think loot box kind of has to figure out where it fits in this whole thing. But I think at the end of the day, if you vote with your wallet, as clearly people did in this situation with canceled pre-orders and so forth, and that type of negative press that got all the way to Bob Iger's eyes, if you vote with your wallet, change is going to happen.
But enough people need to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's hopefully what's going to happen this time. I don't think so. I think enough people are going to buy it where it's not going to make a difference.
So let me ask this, because I think there's one other, I quote-unquote, solution we have to explore, and I have to throw it out there. And I kind of already think I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to throw it out there for the chat for everybody else. One solution to this problem could be, let's just allow companies to charge $70 for the games instead of $60 now.
Do that now. No one's saying they can't do that. It's just it would be suicide for their game if they did that. So they have to hide it in pre-order bonuses and gold editions.
Let me dial back. Why? Because I'm surprised, because I actually kind of agree with you. I'm not against companies raising the price of the game to $70, but...
Because the expectation is going to be that it's going to be better than the other $60 games, and it's not going to be the case. And there's no reason they can't do that. But they already are doing that. Don't think for one second you're paying $60 for a game. You haven't paid $60 for a game for years now. You've been buying their fucking DLC passes and all this shit. So you've been paying that additional money for the gold editions and stuff.
Wait, what I'm going to do to you? I paid $60 for Mario Odyssey. That's been my best gaming experience all year, and I haven't paid a penny more.
Good. You have one game that you did that for. Good for you.
I'm just saying.
How many amiibos did you buy? How many amiibos have you bought? Yeah, that's DLC too, okay?
Your old pal Nintendo.
So did you buy an amiibo to dress up Mario as a special costume?
All right,
did you
maybe,
do that? Because
maybe,
I believe that's DLC.
I got a physical figure with that too, and Mario's never looked better.
I'm just saying.
You got me there. You got me, bitch.
But they're clever for doing that, because at least you got something that you can justify. Okay, this is worth my money because of this reason.
All right, I got Loki to concede like an inch, so I'll take it.
Saying it's wrong. This is the problem. I don't have a problem with these companies doing these things. My problem is they fuck shit up. You have a perfectly good game, and then they just get greedy, and then they fuck it up because of a greed. Like, look at it, the Shadow of War, perfect example. It's like the whole Nemesis system and stuff is awesome. And then they cheapen the whole thing by adding this loot box system in there that doesn't need to be in there other than giving them more money. How about this? If it's not financially feasible to release a game like X, then don't do it.
Here's my take. Again, I'm not opposed to them raising the cost to $70. However, where I think companies are going to struggle with this is that they're going to have to justify a $70 cost for the game. And that's kind of where I agree with you, is that better be worth it. And the game is going to have to be something of that caliber that makes it worth the $70. Because if they don't, here's the other side of this. Sure, games can release for $70. Games can release for $60. But we all know in the back of our head, and this has been true for how long? We all know in the back of our head, they're only going to be $60, $70 for a few months. And then they go on a sale. Here comes the Steam sale. Choo-choo. Here comes the Black Friday sale. Choo-choo. There's so many of us, I think, that sit there and go, I'm not going to buy that game at $60. But eventually, it'll come down to $30. And that's where, to the credit of the developers, the loot box thing is doing them well, because even though they have to end up slashing the price of the game, those loot boxes never go on sale. So they still make the same amount of money from that stuff with a whole new player base.
But if I'm paying $30 for a game and they have loot boxes in it, I might be more inclined to spend money on loot boxes than they would if I'm paying $60 for a game.
Interesting.
Because it's just like, okay, well, so you're making your money from the loot boxes.
This is a very tricky question, because if I were to say, what is the price of a video game? Would you just say, no matter what, $60?
No, it's whatever the game's worth. I mean, here's the thing. The AAA industry can be as shitty as they want, but in the end, they're not the only industry. There's also the indie industry that's out there as well, and you have indie games that make it big. Look at PUBG. They have loot boxes in there as well, so they're not exempt from that, but I mean,
it's also, what, $30 or $40?
It's a $40 game. It's insanely popular. And it's a game I think would be popular longer than, you know, Star Wars Battlefront 2. There's other games out there. So if this industry is being shitty, there's people that are going to be developing games out there that are going to see that and like, I'm not going to be a part of that fucking shit. I'm going to release a game for $30 or whatever, and it's going to be a good game. And it's because you have a lot of like analysts and investors saying that this is the only type of game that's going to make money. And they're doing it to please their investors. They have to. And so they want it, their investors want as much return as possible. And that's why they're trying to make as much money as possible, which anybody's trying to do. But at the same time, I feel that they're sacrificing quality in order to monetize in ridiculous ways. And a lot of the things that we used to get included as part of the full package of a game is now being nickeled and dimed. EA is always this purveyor of shitty services. So like EA, for example, one of the earliest things I remembered is they had like the Godfather game. It came out on PlayStation 2, Xbox, and also Xbox 360 and stuff like that. PlayStation 2 and Xbox, cheat codes. Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, those cheat codes are DLC that you have to pay for because they can make an extra buck off of it.
Cheat codes have all but disappeared from our industry.
So it's all these tests to see what they can get away with and what they can charge for and what money can. And if it's successful, then they're going to keep doing it. If it's not successful, they're going to tweak it and pivot on it and see what other ways they can make money.
So Bobby Blackwolf, in response to the indie thing, mentions in our chat, most people don't want to play a pixelated farm simulator, which is, you know, kind of what indie game. If a casual person buys a 4K gaming system, they're not going to want to play a pixelated indie thing on it. Let me ask this question. What if the game costs $60, but if you wanted 4K graphics to help pay for those artists and up the cost and everything, how about you have to buy a 4K texture pack for $15? Do you think that would get this EA hate levels of tweet, or do you think that's a reasonable compromise?
No, it's not. And the reason why is that you basically killed the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4 Plus.
Because the game essentially costs more on those systems. Well, those systems could play the regular game. You just wouldn't get 4K without.
Then why buy the system? $15. It's not. Yeah, you can't do that. I don't know. It's shitty. We'll just have to see what happens. I mean, that's all we can do. I don't intend it. I don't think that nothing in the history of EA has ever said, oh, we've learned our lesson and we're not going to be shitty anymore. It's, oh, we've learned a lesson. We can't be shitty this way. We're going to have to find another way to be shitty. And that's how it is. And that's the constant battle that we have to deal with these publishers. So that's what we're going to deal with once again. It's going to be, if this doesn't work out, they'll go away and something else will take its place. That's what happened with the online passes. Whoa, we got to fight that used game industry, man. They are putting us out of business. What is it? The game industry? Is it the fact that games are costing more? Stop making these fucking... Is it piracy? You're going to blame piracy again, isn't it? It's just...
It is interesting to me that that whole issue seems to have been solved by the fact that a lot of these companies are convincing people to buy their games digitally. And you can't really resell a digital game. So kind of worked out, didn't it?
Well, also doesn't help that games, it's a hassle to do that. And it's a lot of times like it's fun to have that large library of games because now they're giving you all these free games and stuff. But it doesn't really bother me that I can't sell a game back anymore because I end up playing it. I may play it down the road later on or something like that. It doesn't take up any space in my house, so it's not a big deal. It's just out there in the cloud digitally somewhere, and I can always re-download it later on until they shut down whatever service it is. But so that doesn't really bother me. And I never thought I would be buying games mostly digitally, but I am. So, but yes, that would stop used sales a bit. But I don't think that was really a big deal in the first place. It was just an excuse. This is why they wanted to blame Redbox for the fact that their games aren't selling. No, it's not the case.
To me, the used game thing kind of is in that same bucket with if your game is worth $60, people buy the $60 to get it new, or they just wait for it to go on sale, and the used game kind of falls in that bucket where it's like they'll wait to buy
or
it used.
Make your game so that it's fully...
But if the game is really good, you can't find a used copy anywhere because people don't sell it.
Or just make sure your game is good when it comes out and not fucking buggy as shit so you have to patch it later on because a lot of these games get rushed out. And that's another reason people wait, is because they're like, well, fuck that. I'm not buying, you know, Assassin's Creed, because it's going to be buggy as shit. I'm going to wait until they patch that shit, and then I'll buy it later.
One more question I have, and then I swear we're going to move on, because we need to get off this topic, because it's been consuming everything for a couple weeks, and there's a lot of other things to talk about. But one more question, and I kind of feel like you're already going to say no, but do you think that there will be any fallout at EA's executive level for what's happened this year, with Star Wars being at the forefront of that, Mass Effect to a lesser extent? Because from my perspective, I'm sitting here as, you know, somebody who was a Mass Effect fan, is a Mass Effect fan, you know, looking at like BioWare having to take the hit for what happened with Mass Effect, DICE having to take the hit, because that apology came from DICE, didn't come from EA. And I'm kind of sitting here going, when's EA's board going to take some fucking ownership here? So my question is anybody at EA going to have to take a hit for what's happened this year?
No, because this is all part of their calculation. They're just basically saying, okay, right now we're going to take a hit now, but we're going to make it up on the back end when we reintroduce this stuff, and we're going to spice it up somehow. We're going to introduce new characters. Because right now, when people are calculating how long it's going to take to grind these different characters, it was based off of what is currently in existence. Who says that that's all that there is going to be? They're going to add characters to that. So I don't think it's going to be, and they've even said in their investor meetings or calls or whatever that it's not going to affect anything. At least that's what they're saying right now. And I'm worried that, yeah, that's probably going to be the case, because people will buy the game eventually and they'll forgive them and forget. And then the next game will come out and this whole shit will happen again. What was the other thing I was going to say? So speaking of EA as like a publisher, you may know that there's slim margins in video games, game stores. Mm-hmm. Guess who charges the most for their games out of all of the AAA publishers? That's right, it's EA. They charge $1.25 a piece extra over most of the other companies out there.
Interesting.
Take-Two is also another one that charges a good amount.
But the Take-Two's games always sell like banana bonkers.
They do. They do.
So that's how they
Activision. Activision.
Look at Star Wars the movie going into movie theaters. The demands on Disney, or excuse me, the demands from Disney to the movie theaters for playing Episode 8 are huge. Like, read about that out there. There's some smaller theaters and some smaller markets that are refusing to play it because they're not going to play by Disney's rules. So that's interesting.
Well, you know, Disney's a whole another. Talk about evil organizations. I mean, geez.
Well, I mean, they're kind of a part of this too, in a way. In a way, they may have been the one to ultimately end or, you know, stop what's going on here. But anyway,
yeah.
Let's move on. We got a lot to talk about. So, let's see other stuff I want to get into. I want to get into our gaming week. But before we get into our gaming week, I should acknowledge that we are taping our show today on 19 November, which is somewhat of a, and I'm going to use my quotey fingers, holiday for enthusiasts of music games, specifically Konami's Bomani music series, which really, you know, is what we owe the fact, because it's how you, me, Dark Sakura, how the three of us all met and really formed OLR, was because we always used to play Dance Dance Revolution at Golfland. And if you didn't know, the reason why it's 19 November or 20 November is that 20 November was a song that was in the very first, I think, Beatmania game. They crossed over. They did like a dance remix. It was in Dance Dance Revolution. And then somewhere along the way around like Beatmania 6 style 2DX, they had a 19 November, which I guess is a prequel, or I don't know what you want to call it, but it's basically like another song that has a very specific call-out date in it. So that's why a lot of Bomani enthusiasts celebrate, and I'm using my quotey fingers, 19 November and 20 November is kind of like the official Bomani weekend or what have you. So I'm just curious, when was the last time you like played a game out of that series? I actually got to play Poppin' Music this last weekend. I was in San Francisco. I went to a show yesterday. Actually, Dark Sakura met me there, which is really cool. But we actually went to Japantown, and they have that little arcade there, and they have two Poppin' Music machines. So I was actually able to play Poppin' Music yesterday, which was funny because I failed spectacularly on the first song because I was like, oh, I think I can play songs at about this level, and I did terrible. And then I dropped it down just a little bit and it was like, oh, okay, it's like slowly coming back to me and I can play the 9-button Poppin' Music, which is, if you don't know what Poppin' Music is, it's a music game. But imagine the game of Trouble with the Pop-O-Matic bubble, that big bubble you hit. Imagine there's 9 of those in a line or in a staggered line, and that's what you use to control the game. And it's really a lot of fun to watch because it looks ridiculous, but it's a lot of fun. And what was the last time you touched any of that stuff?
I don't remember. Really? Last time I played, I think I remember playing DDR at my one of my son's birthday parties that he went to, and that was painful.
It's hard to play DDR now.
It's not in shape anymore.
Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, points out that 20 November is also DJ Nagureo, who is the composer of that. That's his birthday. So that was the tie-in for that. So there you go.
19 November, his pregame day or something
Is it birthday eve?
Birthday eve.
All right. Maybe that was good because Good Cool did not. Maybe Good Cool's birthday was 19 November. I don't know. All right. Anyway. So I just wanted to give a shout out and acknowledge that. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Loki, what have you been up to?
So I haven't played a whole ton of stuff. I almost bought Skyrim VR, but then I was like, it's $60 and it's Skyrim again. How many times am I going to buy this game? So I haven't purchased it yet, and I'm probably going to hold off. I may get it on PC if I ever get a VR headset for PC that's of any, you know, if it's decent or whatever. But I have been playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, and I'm mainly just to unlock characters for my kids so that they can play like the free mode and stuff like that whenever I finish the game. Honestly, like, I'm kind of getting bored of these games. It's not, they used to have like a funny storyline and like good voice acting and stuff. It seems like the voice acting has really gone downhill since the first one. Like, the first one had some really great voice actors in there. Now it's like they've changed all the voices out again. It's just, I don't really like it the way that they've kind of done it. And the humor is kind of just, it's all right. The one thing that's positive about it is they've kind of like increased the number of boss fights that are in there. And there's some pretty interesting boss fights. The problem also with that, though, is it's a game definitely geared towards kids. So the bosses, you can really see, they like basically highlight projecting where the boss is going to attack next. And there's really no difficulty to it anyways, because if you die, you just keep respawning. You just lose the studs in the game, which is kind of like the in-game currency to unlock characters. Although all the characters I have already are already unlocked. But later on, you get characters and you have to unlock them with studs that you collect in the game. But the storyline's all right. I mean, they've kind of focused it around the Guardians of the Galaxy, but then now it's kind of getting more into just like comic book stuff. Like, they have Kang the Conqueror is the big villain in the game, and I'm not too familiar with him aside from one of the books that my kids have. I read, there's a story in this Marvel book that I read to them that has Kang the Conqueror in it, and he's like this time traveler guy. Apparently has a giant sword shaped ship or something. But there's like weird time travel shit, and there's all these characters in Marvel Universe. I have no fucking clue who they are. But the puzzles are just getting very easy, and it's just, I don't know. It's not as entertaining as it was before. Now they've played through like several of these games. It just kind of gets like very formulaic. Like, okay, I know what to do now. There's no like puzzle solving or like actual difficult fights. It's just trudging through it. Like, I was the other day, I was literally falling asleep playing the game, and somehow I beat the boss because I was falling asleep. I was just hitting the button. I was just like, I'm just gonna keep punching him. You know, it didn't matter because if I died, I just respawn and keep punching him. There's no penalty for that, which is fine. That's for kids. I get it, but it would be nice. You know, adults do play these games too. So, I mean, it would be kind of cool if they kind of catered it a little bit towards everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't dumb it down because it's just kids you're playing. I mean, you can have a kid mode in there or something like that. What else? Aside from that, I was playing also Lego Batman 2, DC Superheroes. So that one's actually an older game, but I've been playing that on my PC, and that one's all right. But, you know, it's at least that one's sort of funny, and the characters, the voice acting is much better because it's one of the earlier games. So they have, like, you know, the Batman TV series voice actors and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool. Aside from Batman, I still have a lot of VR games I've been meaning to play. Just haven't gotten around to it because my wife's been hogging the TV with, you know, friends. And so it would be very difficult for me to set up. Usually I set up like one of our dining room chairs to sit on so that the camera can pick me up, the move controllers up very well. Because our couch is just outside of like the good area for detection of that stuff.
You can't just turn the camera a little bit and fix that?
I'd have to move it forward. I don't know. It's really silly. But So I just haven't been able to do that yet. I've got like four or five games, PlayStation VR games that I need to get into. So I'm hoping over the break I'll get to actually do that. And then I've been putting off getting South Park. I may get that at some point because it looks good. But and I do want Skyrim VR. It's just we'll see how well I can hold out. I mean, it's Skyrim. I've played so many hours in it. Like, I don't want to start all over again. I don't know. They have to really add something new to it. That's why I wanted it on PC. Mods, you know.
Kaishudo also suggests for your camera usage, get a tripod. Fixes a lot of that stuff.
Well, just sitting on top of the TV. I don't know if it really needs a tripod. Right. But once again, you know, if I did all that, it'd be in front of the TV. Wife can't watch TV. And then she'll be bored. And then I'll have to hear about it. And I don't want to hear about it.
Repeatedly.
It's like, you have Netflix. You can watch it on your computer. Because that's what I do if I want to watch something. No. No.
All right, my gaming week. Not a lot of new stuff this week because I'm continuing to play Mario Odyssey. That was a great thing to play on the plane. I actually brought my Switch and was playing on the plane.
My son keeps bugging me to get a Switch and get Mario Odyssey. I'm like, it's $400. I can't spend $400 for Mario Odyssey right now.
Well, hopefully the system will come down. And
yes,
be more
I need a man cave. We have very few. We have one bathroom.
A response to our comment at live.vodka.com.
Yes. Yeah. I do need a man cave. I have the garage, but it smells like cat box, and it's cold or super hot.
I've also been playing Heroes of the Storm. I'm still going on that, playing that regularly. My cell phone gaming, my AR gaming between Ingress and Pokemon Go, because Ingress has double AP right now, which is a big deal. By the way, Loki, if you haven't signed in, make sure you sign in and get the free thing in the store, because it's a free key locker and it's a bonus. So now you can have six key lockers.
Hooray!
So just,
I will do that now.
You know, even if you don't plan on like playing regularly, you'll kick yourself if you don't grab that while you can. Anybody out there who plays it, if you haven't played in a while, go in their currency, because you get a free pack for the anniversary that has one fracker, one beacon, and a new key capsule that's like a black and red pattern. So, yeah, check that out. So, with double AP, I've been playing a little bit more of that, though not a ton. And they have this whole, you haven't heard about the whole other twist. They did another twist in Ingress where one player now can deploy, only for this anniversary event, one player can deploy 8877 on a portal, as opposed to 1-8 and 1-7. Hmm. And I know people that don't follow Ingress may not understand that, but basically it allows you to make a portal of a higher level, a level 6 portal, by yourself. And it only takes 4 people, as opposed to 8 people, to make the highest level portal. So there's more level 8 portals popping up all over the place, which is kind of fun. So anyway, that's in short what's happening in Ingress. Pokemon Go, I know we're going to get to it a little bit later, but they just announced another event today. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but I had a Pokemon Go Plus. And it was working fine, but it was having issues on iOS 11 that I was reading about online. And I got to play with Alan, has this thing called a gacha. I think I did mention this on the show because
yeah, it's basically the thing I was saying,
yeah,
that I would make
John from Critical Myth
get-go.
Actually tagged me on Facebook saying he got one because he heard me talking about it. And I got to say, the gacha, even though, you know, it's very like third party or what have you, has its own like it does work really well. Like, it just, I mean, some people might think, well, isn't the thrill gone if that thing catches everything for you? And my answer is yes and no. Like, if I want to incentivize my walking, the gacha is very good for that, because I get stats on my egg and so forth and so forth. But if I want to catch like certain Pokemon or go to a like farm part of town or something where, you know, we know a certain Pokemon spawns, I don't think the gacha or the Pokemon Go Plus or any of that is very good for it. You do want to play the game in your hand and actually manually do the catches, because with these devices, you throw one ball at the Pokemon and either you catch it or you don't. So the gacha or the Pogo Plus, it's great for catching Pidgeys and Spinaraks and shit that's everywhere, but it's not going to help you catch, you know, stuff that's a little more rare. So I wouldn't really use it for those types of scenarios. So, but anyway, so I've been using that to play a little more of that. And then Heroes of the Storm, Diablo with the new season that just started. And I re-upped my subscription to World of Warcraft. I thought, let's see what's been going on in there. It's been a long time since I played, so I haven't quit 14 or anything. It's just there's kind of a lull right now on 14, and you know, not really a lot of content. Not a lot of people that I know have been playing lately, so there hasn't been a whole lot of people to be doing stuff with. So, but I'm keeping it open just because if somebody does say like, hey, Rob, let's go do a dungeon, I can do that. But I'm kind of flirting with WoW a little bit, just kind of seeing what's changed and what's different. So there's that. I guess we all knew it would happen eventually. This tends to happen once a year, by the way. I'll re-up WoW for a month, maybe two, and then I'll cancel it. So that'll probably be what happens here again, but it's my annual revisit to that game. So that's pretty much it for my gaming week. Before we get into news this week, I should announce here on the show, because this little thing is at my feet right now. But so you guys know that Alan and I had a kitty that Sanrio passed away a few weeks ago. It's probably close to a month now. And obviously we've been really wanting to get a new cat, just because even though our old cats can never be – I say cats because we had another one, Maruko, a few years ago, and he passed. But even though we can never replace those cats, we knew we had to get something. We had to get a new little furball friend. So we actually have a new kitty, and he doesn't have a name yet, but I keep calling him Mr. Smoosh. Just because he has a little smooshy face. He's one of those cats that has a smooshy face. And this cat, Mr. Smoosh, is much more social than Sanrio or the other cats were. So he's actually out here in the studio right now just chilling. He was napping up on the couch earlier. And Loki,
his face kind of looks like Yoda.
Does it? A little bit. I put pictures. There's pictures on my Twitter at Sky, SKIE, if you want to see pictures here. He's great. And so the interesting thing is, usually you don't find Smooshfoot face cats as rescues. They're usually cats that you breed, right? And we're very big. Alan and I are very big on, we only want to do rescue cats because we want to help cats that need a home.
Yeah, of course.
But a friend on Facebook posted about this cat that her friend had found. I guess this cat, somebody abandoned this cat in the apartment complex. And the cat was just kind of walking around outside for a couple weeks. So somebody took him in, tried taking him to the vet. They read the chip. The numbers on the chip were disconnected, so they can't get in touch with whoever owned and left this cat. I worry somebody moved out in that apartment complex and left the cat there, because you know how people do that sometimes, which is really shitty.
Yeah.
But we kind of think that's probably what happened with this cat. So it ended up being that we could rescue a cat. Who would abandon such a beautiful cat? This is like a show cat. I don't understand. So, but Alan and I are going to take real good care of him. And we'll pick a long-term name at some point, although I have a feeling this Mr. Smoosh is going to stick.
I'm surprised they didn't have the name on the chip. Sometimes they put the name on the chip itself.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything about that. We're going to take it into our vet and have the chip read again, if the chip's still in there, I imagine it is. We're going to have the chip read again just to make sure, like, everything's being, you know, accounted for. And then if there is a name on there, then we'll decide, you know, well, it's kind of up to us if we want to keep it or not.
Right, yeah. I mean, because I know when I registered our cat, we had to put the name on there. So I think it had it, but maybe, I don't know.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, listless name the cat. Hell no. That is a big hell no. I love the idea, though. That's great. All right. So anyhow, Mr. Smoosh is now the unofficial co-host of our show. You want to come say hello? He's not very talkative. He's only talkative when he whines and wants food. Then, anyway. All right. No, I don't think Mr. Smoosh is going to talk. Want to say something, Mr. Smoosh? Oh, he's rubbing up on the microphone. I think with the voice card, though, it probably isn't coming through.
Yes, he was very vocal earlier when I had chicken in here. So he's like, you're going to give me some of that?
Leroy. No. All right. Anyhow, let's get into some other gaming news. What else is going on in the game industry this week? Loki.
It's just all loot boxes, right?
No. I think there is other stuff. Loot boxes is distracting us from everything else. That's all anybody can talk about.
It's so, like, I don't know. It's been if it's not reading about loot box stuff, it's reading
Let's
about
loot box the news.
Loot box the news.
That's what we'll do. In the future for the kickoff topic, we're going to put three news articles in boxes, and we're going to open one loot box and see what.
I love loot boxes in Borderlands or in Diablo, where they're like in the game, not where I have to purchase them. So anyways, speaking of games, Overwatch, so there's been an issue with Overwatch where accounts are getting suspended and banned, due to false reports, I guess. And so, one of these situations is actually there was a person, playing a match, Felix Lengel was playing, I guess, a competitive Overwatch match when he was booted from the game and informed that his account had been banned or suspended. And I guess he was mid-match when that occurred, and so that kind of sucked. Apparently, though, this also happened during the Overwatch World Cup when a Canadian player also had that happen as well. So, apparently, after the ban was issued, he found out that, I guess, the email was saying that there was an offensive misuse reporting system or something like that, that they had issued it only after careful review of evidence. And the message, I guess, specified that it referred to other players reporting, reporting him that prevented him from playing. And I guess the thing is now people like doing these false reports. At least it's not swatting, so that's a step up from that. But it still sucks that people are reporting. I have a feeling it's like if they're watching these streams of people playing competitively, it's like, uh-huh, we're going to troll that guy by reporting him or something. Well, he's cheating or something.
Shouldn't there be some type of like backlash where if, you know, this gets Blizzard's attention and they can even, you know, kind of provide the footage or whatever and the proof, couldn't Blizzard go back and, you know, basically make these people unable to report accounts ever again because they abused the system?
Maybe. Or can they easily create new Blizzard accounts or
maybe. Well, they'd have to rebuy Overwatch. That doesn't seem like
Well,
free play weekend though, maybe is I don't know.
Was it a free play weekend?
When this happened, I don't think it was. But right now is a free play weekend in Overwatch. So I was just thinking like, oh, it would be easy to make new accounts. But I don't know. I don't. Maybe free players don't get to report or have their reports mean as much or as somebody who's a paying customer. I don't know. Blizzard's still having to work all that out. And they claim it's taking away from development of the actual game because of it. So,
boo-hoo. Okay. I mean, I don't feel bad for them.
But it is a big deal. I'm okay with them taking the time to get this right.
Yeah.
You want the community to be positive.
And it is a big deal because he is a professional player. He's on one of the, you know, Blizzard teams, and you know, the Dallas Fuel sounds like a Mountain Dew brand or something like that. You know, Dallas Fuel. But whatever the case may be, you know, so he's got his team, at least, you know, the people managing that are looking into it as well to try to see if Blizzard can kind of correct that. But it's still shitty that this is going to be a thing, especially that's got to hurt too. Like if it's happening, at least this was at home, but like, couldn't the same thing happen? Like say at a match in, you know, like an arena or something like that, or just false, you know, reporting these people. And I don't know. You would think that there'd be some way to figure that out, but how are you going to, without truly investigating these things? I don't know what proof they have.
Yeah.
We won't know because only Blizzard can see that.
Right. So, I don't know if there's an easy answer to this, but it's probably going to impact the way that you do reporting in one way or another. I guess there's probably not going to be any automated bans when a ton of people report a certain individual, which actually could end up being a bad thing because that could affect, you know, people that are spamming or people that really are toxic that do need to go. So,
either way, they should always have humans looking at that stuff.
Yeah. Wherever they can. So, all right. Well, one thing that many humans and gamers in the gaming community are looking at over the next couple weeks is the Game Awards. You know, it's been taking a very long time for somebody to get Game Awards right in this industry. But we do have the nominees out for the Game Awards 2017. And also news that some big reveals and secrets are going to be coming for the Game Awards from a number of developers and publishers. 13 plus reveals. I don't know what the plus means. But some of these will be Switch titles, undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. Nintendo's done a lot with Game Awards before, though, so that's not too surprising to hear. Maybe DLC Pack 2 will be part of the announcement, which was supposed to be out in November, but I don't think that's happening at this point because November's almost done and they still haven't announced anything with this. And I think the Game Awards are what day is it?
Let's see. The Game Awards is December 7th.
Okay, there you go. I knew it was like first week in December. Oh, by the way, speaking of Nintendo, Bobby Blackwolf in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has a release date November 22nd on American app stores.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. That was something that I was playing.
Yeah, which is on the Australian store. Yeah.
Yes, I played it. I am bored to death with that game, so I will not be playing it.
What's wrong with it? Why don't you?
It's just boring. It's Animal Crossing, but boring. I just
You just kind of wore it out. You weren't
into
it.
I'm not even engaged. It's just not engaging enough for me. There's not really any. I don't know. I just don't feel the need to play it.
All right.
I don't know, but whatever. I mean, I'm sure other people will like it. I was going to mention, though, there's some of the nominees. So we have.
Yeah, I was just about to get to it, too. Game of the Year. That's the only one anybody cares about, right?
Yes.
Game of the Year is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. No surprise there. Super Mario Odyssey. No surprise there. PUBG. No surprise there, really. Horizon Zero Dawn.
That's not surprising.
Not a huge surprise. And Persona 5. Also not a huge surprise. So that list of nominees, pretty much. I mean, you can't really look at any of those games and say those deserve to be there.
No Battlefront 2 or no Call of Duty or no
EA games. No EA games.
No Shadow of War?
How do you feel about two Nintendo games, Loki?
I think they were great games. I don't see a problem with them being on there at all. Huh? Do we think that I hate Nintendo? I don't understand what the problem is.
Sometimes, yes.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, call.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, PUBG is still in early access. So, you know, I guess maybe some would wonder, does PUBG deserve
that
to be
there? That is a little weird, but I mean, it's not like we're talking about Game of the Year being, you know, Nintendo's online, because that's certainly not going to get voted Game of the Year or anything
of
the year.
You're shifting the conversation away from PUBG. Why is PUBG in the Game of the Year if it's still in early access? Well, I mean, it's hard to deny the effect that game has had on the gaming industry, and I think that's why it's there. You know, that game has basically taken over Twitch, and now we see, even if it is in early access, it already has imitators, right?
Why is this a category? Best ongoing game?
Oh, like, what is that where, like, Overwatch and stuff is nominated for stuff like
that? Yeah, like Overwatch and Destiny 2. Yeah, it's ongoing. It just came out like 2 months ago. What is that, like, online?
Yeah, Overwatch didn't. Overwatch was the game.
Well, right.
Of the year
Overwatch
last year.
Didn't. The rest of the categories make sense, like Rainbow Six Siege and, you know, Grand Theft Auto Online, that type of stuff. Warframe.
I assume they just want to acknowledge developers that have kept supporting their game a long time after release.
Well, congratulations to Bungie for supporting their games 2 months after launch. Props to them, man. I know that's such a struggle. I do like they have best student game. That's kind of cool. Trending gamer.
What do you think about the most? I did think it's really cool. They have that guy from Games Done Quick in the game. He'll win.
Trending gamer? My money's on Dr. Disrespect, but you know,
of course it is. All right. For the record, I don't know that guy. I hear the name. What do you think of this category? Thank you. It's Half Coordinated was the name I was thinking of. Thank you, Dr. Zoo. What do you think of this category? Most anticipated game. God of War, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, Red Dead Redemption 2, and The Last of Us Part 2. What do you think of that category for games?
Brought to you by Sony. I mean,
what do you think? A hype. Nothing but hype category. Best hype.
That's dumb.
Best hype
machine.
It's
a dumb category, but Red Dead 2 all the way.
Of course.
I'm biased though, so that's yeah.
What do you think of those five for Game of the Year? Which do you think will win and should win?
Mario Odyssey for both.
Okay, I think Breath of the Wild will win, and it really not that it shouldn't win, but my vote would go to Mario Odyssey. Personally.
I think Mario Odyssey for both.
But the only thing that's a little weird about that is that. Will the fact that there's two Nintendo games in there kind of cancel each other out? Like, are they going to split the vote?
No, I don't think so. I think Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild's been out long enough that people have kind of forgotten about it to where Mario Odyssey is going to be more fresh in people's minds. I think it's going to get the vote because it's so much nostalgia thrown in there, whereas Breath of the Wild is like, wow, this is a really new direction for Zelda. Mm-hmm. This is more like, wow, it's so innovative and fun to play and all the nostalgia and, oh, it's so colorful and cute and, yeah, everybody's talking about it.
Really, I mean, I could just see a scenario where they go out there and they go, it's a tie, and both games win and let the Nintendo orgy begin.
It's Horizon Zero Dawn in Persona 5.
All right. Let's move on with some more news, Logie.
Yeah, so apparently Disney has dropped out of Marvel Heroes. So you know, they've cut their ties with Gazillion, and that's caused the online game Marvel Heroes to shut down. That's kind of unfortunate. So basically, they had an email that went out that say, you know, we regret to inform our Marvel Heroes fans that we have ended our relationship with Gazillion Entertainment and that Marvel Heroes games will be shut down. We would like to sincerely thank you, the players who have joined Marvel Heroes community, and will provide any updates as they become available. And of course, you know, that was out on PC. And then they had console ports on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, which I never did play, but I know those are free to play. Oh, well, guess I won't be playing that. Of course,
I feel like I played this one for a half second.
Not a lot of people were happy about that. And some of those, you know, include people, once again, that were paying money via microtransactions. So there was a guy that said he sunk $400 in the microtransactions, unlocking different characters. And now word that money's all gone. Or now the service is going away. I don't know if I really excuse that. Yeah, you can be mad about it, and then they're demanding refunds, but it's an online game that's free to play. There's no guarantee that thing's going to stay around forever. I just, you know, I don't know. It does suck for some people. There's, like, this one guy, they said, Shanancy Philok, he had spent 700 hours playing the game. I don't know. It's just people spending money in these online games. That's how they... They don't charge you money up front, so that's how they pay for these games. So, why do you think you should get your money back? It'd be different, like, if they announced, like, a free-to-play game is launching, and they had you pre-order, like, you know, loot box or something, because I've seen that, where you pre-order yeah. DLC, and you pay for that, and then it just, like, fails launch or launches and lasts for, like, a month or something like that, you know.
I hate to say it. I mean, it sucks, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to know that when you buy virtual shit, that virtual shit could get the plug pulled on it someday.
Well, right. Like, you
it's
know,
like Pokemon Go. Like, that game's not going to be around forever. I mean, I hope it's around for a long time, but there's money I've spent in that game, and it's going to be money I lose. You know, I'm not going to be able to get that money back.
Right. Or, like, what was it, like, you know, Final Fantasy games, like, I spent a lot of time in there, invested time, and, you know, I guess you get monthly fees for those things.
Sure.
But I'm not demanding a refund because they shut the game down eventually, you know, whatever. I mean, who cares?
I think it's nice when they do refunds maybe for, like, the 30 days or the 60 days before the announcement. I think it's nice when companies can do that, and it's, you know, good guy Disney, but, you know, those are words you don't really hear in the same sentence lately, so I'm not totally surprised.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I'm sure there'll be another online Marvel game at some point, you mm-hmm. know? So, I just keep in mind, you know, at least this is not a game that you chunk, you know, you spent $60 on and you're paying microtransactions into, and then, you know, now they're kind of pulling away. Or even worse, a game that you had paid money for that's an online-only game that they're cutting the services for, and now you have this disc that does nothing. Thankfully, a lot of those, they do refund that stuff. Like, I think they did that with... was the Warner, the DC Universe one, when they went from, it was originally a buy, there was no online, you had to pay for the disc up front, and then you'd have the game for free. Kind of like, think of like how they have with Elder Scrolls Online, where you buy the disc, but then they went free to play, and so obviously if you have all these discs out there, well, fuck, what are you going to do with those? A lot of the companies will kind of switch it over to, oh, well, you know, we'll give you some, you know, a perk or something like that because you paid money onto it. Or, you know, they'll offer refunds for the game disc. And that's what they ended up doing with DC Universe, because I think it's shortly after launch that they did that.
Yeah. Or, you know, it would be nice, too, if maybe some of these online-based games would allow their servers to go private, kind of like what happened with Phantasy Star Online Blue Burst, and then people could transfer their characters to a private server. I think in some ways that's the best way to do it.
Disney would never do that.
I know they wouldn't, but at the same time, I think that might be, you know, to really avoid maybe the negativity, I think that would make people happy. But, anyway. I wonder if this makes people happy. A new DLC character for Tekken 7. Some good old DLC. But the DLC character that's been announced? Noctis. That's right. Prince Noctis from Final Fantasy 15. That's the new character in Tekken 7. It was unveiled in a trailer this week, and I think it's released sometime early next year, I think was when the
it's kind of weird.
What do you mean?
just that character in Tekken. I just don't see that. I mean, he fights with weapons.
Yeah.
How's that work?
Well, he's not the first character from another series to come in the game.
Geese, I could see him for, like, Soul Calibur or something like that, but, like, I don't know.
Geese Howard, who, of course, was Fatal Fury, that whole and King of Fighters, technically.
Yeah, but that's a fighting character.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
well, okay, well, what about this? So the week we were out, we missed the news about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming in Injustice 2, although I think that's kind of rad.
That's cool.
It's still comic books, right?
Yeah, that's better than, like...
Very easy to palette swap for all four turtles.
Right? I mean, that's pretty cool. I'm down with that.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of Injustice people are pretty happy about that, so... But, yeah, so the big fighting game DLC news this past couple weeks. The Ninja Turtles last week, and now...
I totally missed that. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about
that. Yeah, no, Ninja Turtles are in Injustice 2, or coming.
I still have no interest in Injustice 2, but, I mean, that's cool. I don't know. I just don't like DC characters.
It'll be a free game at some point. The first Injustice ended
up going... Yeah, I have the first Injustice because of the free stuff, but I never played it.
You should. It's a decent fighting. If you like the Mortal Kombat, because it's very
I don't.
The same
I don't. I'm not really of a Mortal... I'm a more Street Fighter guy. I don't like Mortal Kombat, but try it out. It's free.
Tiger Claw points out that the Turtles in Injustice 2 is the closest thing we'll get to a TMNT tournament fighters. Well, never say never.
Well, they have that new arcade game coming out, remember? So there's that.
That's true. Kaijuda says we want the missing Tekken fighters before we get these other ones. Tekken 7 is awesome. Tekken 7 should have every Tekken character ever made in it. It's the best fighting game out right now. No. William Murderface says now we need Marvel cross Capcom, cross Tekken, cross Fire Emblem, cross Persona. Cross Urguys. All right. Anyway, let's move on, Logie.
All right. So GameStop had this whole thing that they were trying to test out, this whole Power Pass, where basically it would give you unlimited access to used games. So you'd be able to go into a store and, like, rent the used game. Kind of like what people do already. You know, some people will buy a used game, and you have 7 days to return it, no questions asked, and then they... return it and get their money back and get another used game. So this is more of a legit way of doing that. However, GameStop has decided to freeze the program right now. They're saying that apparently they're not. It's not certain why they kind of froze it, but they're saying right now that it could be that the computer systems that they have weren't able to handle a service like that. So... they're, I guess, tweaking that. But they said, you know, we've elected to temporarily pause the rollout of our new Power Pass subscription service based on a few program limitations we have identified. We feel this is the right thing to do for now to ensure that we're able to provide our guests exceptional service, said one of their spokesmen. And, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting idea for $60 for 6 months. That's not bad. I mean, $10. I mean, God, I know a lot of people are too young to remember. I can't believe I'm saying this. Are too young to remember Blockbuster. But for $10. Unless you're in Alaska, that's fine. But like $10. I mean, you want to talk about spending a lot of money on games. $10 for a month worth of rentals. That's fucking awesome. I mean, considering that it used to be like $7 a rental for like games. I mean, you get that for a week, and that was like a fucking great ass deal at the time. But I don't know. It's neat. I know, like, I went into GameStop today. So, like, my son wanted to go in the GameStop just because we're killing time, and they have completely remodeled the store that's near me. So now it's like half toys, like half merchandise and stuff in there. Yeah. It's just completely, and it's fine because they've got some cool shit in there. Like, they've got stuff that I haven't seen before that's pretty cool. Like, they had all sorts of game-themed board games. They had a Portal board game that I almost thought about picking up, but I didn't want because I don't know if I'd have anybody to actually play with me, but that was really cool. I've never seen that before. T-shirts. They had a giant Snorlax stuffed Snorlax thing that was really awesome. So they have lots of cool shit like that. And I don't mind them having like gaming-related gift stuff. That's cool because that kind of differentiates them a little bit.
This is a good time of year to have stocking stuffers like
right.
that everywhere, too.
I was disappointed, though. I mean, like, I know I've been looking for some of the, you know, more... Like, I've been trying to get some of these LEGO Dimension things cheap. So far, I haven't really run across any because it's a Lego the premium, you know. I wanted to get the Midway one because it was cool and it had like the gamer guy and like the Midway arcade cabinet and stuff like that. But it's like $30 like in like some of the other stores, like full price. No, thank you. I'm not paying that. And that's kind of one of the reasons why that game went downhill. But, you know, I was kind of looking for some of that stuff, hoping that they were clearing that out. But apparently all that's gone. But, I mean, they still have a selection of stuff. It's just the games are definitely a lot slimmer now. It's not taking up all the shelf space. It's just tons of merchandise now, which it's not a terrible thing. I don't know. So, but, yeah, I definitely see them trying to make money in different ways. So getting creative.
Well, they gotta stay relevant because, as we talked about earlier, the whole digital thing is gonna screw them eventually.
Let's think about it here. I mean, aside from like Gamefly, where else are you gonna rent stuff? Nowhere. There's like no rental stores anywhere. There's, you know, Redbox, but Redbox has such a limited selection of games. Unless you're looking for brand new, you know, games. It's not a bad idea if you're like looking for that same experience, like going to Blockbuster and just picking out a game and like renting it. I mean, you'll be able to play a lot of stuff, a lot of back catalog, because they've got a lot of it that they're sitting on. So, I mean, it's not a terrible idea.
All right. Well, this was a news story that was linked to us on our Discord server, which you can join over at vognetwork.com/Discord. And apparently the hubbub going on over Battlefront 2 is not the only Angry Gamer story going on right now. We were linked over to, and this came in from SJ100 Matt, linked over to a Reddit article about the game Black Desert Online. And apparently some protests going on the North American servers about Black Desert Online and where it's headed in the future. And in this Reddit thread, they talked about that they were going to join this particular server. And I guess they're doing a protest podcast to accompany the in-game protest, where they're going to talk about the different concerns that are going on for the game, which include they'd like to do some compensation for server lag. North American players have been dealing with disconnects in the game. Unbanning a very prominent community member named Blue. Balancing the classes a little better. Same with the militia system. Increasing the drops on scrolls. Helping to new players to not have such a barrier to entry. And something called lease webs, which I think have to do with, I think kind of part of how the game is being run, that lease webs with the servers and all that stuff, it's not working out and it's causing packet loss and so forth. So some gamers taking to the game. And if you don't know Black Desert Online, I feel like didn't we see this at E3? Because I think I remember this game getting my attention. I was like, ooh, that's pretty. And it's like, it's a Korean MMO, I think, but it's kind of like out over here in the States now. And it's a very good looking game, but good graphics are only going to get you so far if you can't connect to the game because you have packet loss or you keep getting killed over and over because it's too easy for the veteran players to have a leg up on the new players and so forth. So Kaijudo says, how are they protesting in the game? How is that helping the game? I'm not sure if I'm getting the whole... if you love the game and want to see, join the protest in Calpheon on the Calpheon 1 channel at 9 p.m. Maybe they're trying to take over like the game to get other people to hear into their concerns. That might actually be kind of part of it, is trying to organize first. I guess that's what happened with EA, is that once the... voices kind of organize themselves on social media and Twitter, that's when you started seeing that backlash on what happened with Battlefront. Because Yudo does bring up a good point. Doesn't that help the game when you protest in the game? Is the game free to play?
I don't know.
I don't think it is. So, interesting. But it's certainly game players that are voicing their concerns. SG100 Matt says they are refusing to buy certain aspects in the game and crowding the town areas. A few of my friends were really upset about this. Dungeon Buster also points out Black Desert Online is also a hardcore grind because of the RNG, which I hear is legendarily brutal. And Dungeon Buster also points out it is a $10 game on Steam. So it's not free, but it's...
That's still not bad.
Yeah, pretty low amount of money. Well, yeah, but it's a wasted $10 if you can't ever connect to the damn game. So
true.
It will be interesting to see if the developers give a shit. The developers are overseas, so maybe they don't care what the American audience has to say. But we'll see. Who knows? Who knows? I'll be very interested to see the follow-up and see what happens with this. Meanwhile, before we get to the classic game of the week, let's get to another news story from Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Minecon Earth. So they did this big old, well, instead of having Minecon in like a location, they did this whole webcast thing for like 3 hours on Saturday. And I didn't watch it. I thought about watching it at first, but I missed it live. But then I went back and watched it, and my God, they wasted so much goddamn time. I know they have like celebrity hosts and stuff, but I hate celebrity comedian hosts sometimes. They had Will Arnett doing it, and it was really cringy. But there were some announcements and some fun things that they did. So the first thing they did was they actually had four different enemy types that they were talking about that they were voting on. And so one of those got voted to be the next new enemy. And so that one is like this stingray-looking thing that flies in the sky at night and will attack you if you haven't slept in a few days.
Oh.
And so it's, you know, kind of neat. The other one they had was like a souped-up blaze, and then they had one that was this monster that attacked you from under the ocean, and then one that was like this chomper thing that would eat you or something. And so they did that, and it looked interesting. So that's gonna be implemented at some point soon. They did talk about how that the super duper graphics update thing is gonna be delayed, although it looks really nice. So that's kind of cool. And then they have the aquatic update that's going to be coming out with some new enemies and new weapons. So they've got the harpoon now, or it looks like a trident. I guess it's a trident. And so basically you can take that and you can throw it and you can enchant it so that it comes back to you, which is kind of cool. So I like that. And then they've got new stuff that they're adding underwater. They have dolphins now, which I guess will help point you towards treasure. And they've got underwater like coral and seaweed and fish and stuff like that. So it's actually going to be more kind of populated instead of these barren oceans. And then on top of that, they've also added, I guess, some new biome types as well. So they have glaciers and that type of thing, icebergs. So neat. And so I'm not sure. Looks like the graphics pack is going to be delayed until 2018. The aquatic pack is going to be coming soon, but they haven't really said when yet for that one. But if you do play a little bit of Minecraft and you are interested, they do have some free content out there now. So you can go to the Minecraft store that they added to the game and download a free skins that they have for that as well. So go get those skins, go get the little world that they had, and free stuff. But yes, seriously though, it was a goddamn waste. Although they did some musical numbers, and they're kind of funny. One of them was, at least. The other one was not.
Do you think you'll still keep an eye on Minecraft with these changes and updates?
A little bit. Like some of the stuff they were talking about was in-game. Like, they had these things, I guess, you know, they have the whole, I forget what they call them, because I still haven't played too much of Minecraft recently. I get bored with it so fast. Like, I keep going back to it. I did play Minecraft this week as well, actually, on the Windows 10 version. And I just get bored with it. Like, survival mode's kind of boring, because there's not really forcing you to, you're not really running out of resources really fast. It's more of just, like, okay, I better dig down to... You kind of have to force yourself to try to get to these objectives. There's nothing really kind of pushing you to do it. There's not challenging you to, you know, survive or anything. It's kind of easy.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I could bump up the difficulty, but that just makes it so I have to bash in things longer, and that doesn't really do anything.
All right. Well, even though Minecraft is a classic-looking game, let's take a moment to talk about the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Soccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats, you should recognize this game this week. This game doesn't have loot boxes. Go check this game out. It's the classic game of the week, but Dark Soccer is not here. So, wahaha, I'm going to take over tonight. And I'm taking over in the spirit of the 19 November holiday that we had today. No, I didn't pick a Bomani game tonight, but I did pick a game that I thought... maybe we wouldn't have had Bomani or Dance Dance Revolution or any of that stuff if it wasn't for this game. So that's why I picked Dance Aerobics. That's right, Dance Aerobics, the NES release that required the power pad in order to be able to play this game. So, and you, with the sweet voice synthesis, you can hear going, come on, and then one, two, three. I think those are the only words in the whole game are come on, and then one, two, three, four, over and over and over again. And the sweet
NES backdrop music that's playing there. Anyway, so Dance Aerobics was released by Nintendo in North America, and it was released by Bandai overseas in Japan, because it was kind of Bandai's power pad over there. It came out in Japan in 1987 on February 26th. It came out in North America March 1989 as one of the games for the power pad. It was originally the third game in Bandai's Family Trainer series, and it uses side B of the infamous power pad. Every game used side B. You may not remember, the power pad had side A and side B. Side
I don't
B
remember
was,
that.
Side B was the 12 numbers. Side A was where it had like the two red dots in the center. And then there were like six blue dots around it. And I don't think like any game used that. So anyway, Dance Aerobics used side B. And it had several different modes to it, including normal mode, where you have different aerobics classes and you play through the classes to unlock more classes. You follow the motions of the instructor by stepping on the buttons when the instructor steps on the buttons. And sometimes it's going to involve the hands. Some of the more advanced levels, you might put your hands on 1 and 4, and then your legs are on 9 and 10, and you're like kicking up your legs. So, you know, it is, I mean, especially, you know, this game is what a lot of people kind of think of or joke about, especially when we talk about the whole exercise gaming craze that really took over when the Kinect was released, right? Because the Kinector could really follow you. Well, this in some ways was a precursor to that, except obviously the dance pad was the only thing that could really know what you're doing. So I'm sure tons of people would cheat at this, but if you get a game like Dance Aerobics, I would imagine the idea behind it is that you're actually going to follow the routines and you may get a little bit of exercise doing that. So, let's see. You start with a score of 100, and with each mistake you make, your score is reduced by 10. And it only goes up if you completely correctly do a routine. If the counter reaches 0, you failed. And then the games will go on as the player passes levels, new harder songs and unlocked, and the difficulty goes up. There are other modes too. You can go into something called Pad Antics, where you get Tune Up, where the two buttons in the center of the power pad are deactivated, and the rest of the 10 pads are assigned different musical notes. So it's just basically stomp and make music. I bet kids would love that shit. Matt Melodies, you would stand on the center pad, and then the game plays a short song, and you repeat it back. So like a Simon Says with that whole thing. And then there's Ditto, which basically you use a hand or a foot on the power pad. It's basically Solo Twister, which I'm sure is tons of fun, right?
I'm sure.
But that's what Ditto was. So there you go. And then in aerobics mode, you have the four original songs from normal mode. They're all available, but when the counter reaches 0, the music continues, and the player can attempt to mimic the moves by the instructor, but there's no progression. You could think of it as like a type of easy mode, if you will. So at the end of the day, I mean, it was a pretty simple game. It was on the NES. There wasn't a whole lot of else to it. But I think this game is important to acknowledge because it is a precursor, certainly, to the whole exercise gaming thing. And even a game like DDR, which we're kind of, you know, celebrating here with it being this weekend, even though there were no scrolling notes on the screen, which is very, you know, reminiscent of that series, certainly there is the whole follow what I'm doing on this mat, which is very similar to what we got with DDR. So, and it's to the beat of the music and as she counts along. So there it is. Your classic game of the week, Dance Aerobics by Bandai in 1987 for the Japanese Famicom, 1989 all the way here in the U.S. because it took us a while to get the power pad, if you remember right. There it is, your classic game of the week. Looking in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, William Murderface says, since Dark Soccer is gone, do we get Halo as classic game of the week? No, because I value my life. Come on, Noel Gus says, Zumba on the Wii was pretty fun. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, there's plenty more show to come, including Rapid Fire News. We're going to get to your emails and what's in stores as well. We're going to talk about the potential of Mario Brothers becoming a movie. And we'll talk a little bit about the Vive and the future direction for that. So that'll be fun. And maybe Mr. Schmoosh will say hello. Mr. Schmoosh. He just looks at the mic, and I think he's trying to smoosh. See, I call him Mr. Schmoosh not just because he has the smooshy face, but he smooshes his face into things like the mic. Yeah, so anyway, he's sitting in one of our guest chairs right now just chilling. So anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this.
Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 707 of our show for this 19 November of 2017. Just myself and Loki here in studio tonight. Dark Sakura, she's out tonight. She had a charity event that she's doing. So we're just here holding down the fort with the news. You missed a whole lot of talk about loot box in the first half if you're just joining us live tonight. But it'll all be there for you on the podcast feed. A big shout out to everybody that listens to us on the podcast feed. Are you guys listening to our pal Bobby Blackwolf on the podcast feed as well? Because I wanted to give a cheap plug for his show that he did last week while we were gone. So I think some of you might have missed it because you may have also been gone because of the long weekend and we weren't here live. So some of you may have missed this live, but check out episode 592 of Bobby's show. He actually interviewed somebody who was a listener of his, actually still is, but you know, just not participating as much live. But Tim came on the show to talk about the archive team and the Miiverse preservation project, because Nintendo, of course, closed Miiverse while we were gone. And so it's talking a little bit about the Miiverse preservation project, what it is, why they're doing it, and you know, how it might change from region to region, and so on and so forth. So check that out. It's also the big plug at VogNetwork.com right now. So you can just click on that and go right to it. I should also give a shout out as well. If I'm going to shout out Bobby, I also need to shout out our other great gaming shows we have here at the Voice Geek Network. We have a lot of great shows on the network, but you know, specifically, of course, our gaming buddies. I have to say hello to Electric Sisterhood and check in with them. And Game Buoy is back. They were on a little bit of a break, but Game Buoy just put out a new episode not that long ago. So check out Electric Sisterhood and Game Buoy. They're both there on the network at VogNetwork.com as well. All right, let's get back into some news, rapid fire style. Loki.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about Pokemon's Go. So they've got some new things with that, including you can get some of the low-end fashion now for your characters. That's right. So Pokemon Sun, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon are coming out, or I should say have already come out, and now they have to kind of go along with that. There is some new things you can get, and so including,
when can I get a new face?
Never. You can never change your face. So you can get a straw hat, a tank top, and looks like shorts, and yeah. So those are available right now, so go check it out. I don't know if they cost anything. Hopefully not.
They don't.
Sweet. All right. And then they have this new Pokemon Go event. That's this Pokemon Go Travel and the Global Catch Challenge. So with that, I guess they're saying, I guess, Pokemon Go Travel is taking, I guess, groups of trainers from around the world to Japan to host the first ever Global Catch Challenge. And so with that, I guess they're trying to catch 3 billion Pokemon in 7 days. That's a lot. So then with that, I guess there's different rewards that people can get. So double XP. So for 5 million catches or bronze, I guess everyone gets, you know, double XP as well as, I guess, the, what the hell do they call those?
6-hour lures.
Yes, the lures. Thank you. Yeah. The lures are 6 hours. So if it's silver, you're going to be getting double XP, the 6-hour lures, and also double stardust. And finally, if they do end up catching 3 billion, then you'll get the double XP, 6-hour lures, double stardust. Farfetch'd will be available worldwide for 48 hours, and Kangaskhan will be available in East Asia.
That's a big freaking deal, because that's one of those regional exclusives. You can't catch Farfetch'd here in the U.S. right now. Farfetch'd is exclusive to Asia, which is why they're getting Kangaskhan instead, because it wouldn't matter if they got Farfetch'd because they already have it. So this is a really big deal that, you know, you were going to have a chance to catch a regional exclusive outside. Well, Anaheim, I think, was the only place you could do that before. They had Kangaskhan available, I think, during that actual Pokemon Worlds event that was down in Anaheim. But that's really it. So this is going to be the first chance, you know, in America we've had to catch Farfetch'd, assuming we meet that 3 billion Pokemon mark. But I don't know. I have never known this game to announce rewards they didn't end up giving out. And that same thing happened, remember, with GoFest, where it was like, oh, we're just going to give you all the rewards. And I was kind of...
Well, that was kind of...
I kind of think
that... Fucked up.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that was always the intended thing to do. You don't want to dangle that stuff in front of people and then not give it to them. So I kind of think you're going to get it anyway. But why not go release, you know, everything, I suppose.
JD in chat says Chicago did a thing where they released regional exclusives during the big meltdown event. Oh, that's right. They were able to get, was it Heracross, I think, was available there, which usually is something you can only get in like South Florida. You have to be below a certain latitude. You have to be below a certain latitude to get Heracross. And you can get it in parts of South Florida. For the most part, it's Latin America's Pokemon. So, okay. Anyway. Let's move on. You got one more thing for us, right, Logan?
Yes. So then they're adding... I don't know how to feel about this. I still don't... I saw the Agents of Mayhem today at GameStop, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that game came out, didn't it? Like, I forgot all about it already. But they have DLC coming out now. Saints Rose Kinsey is joining them as her... call sign is was it Safe Word, because she's a nerd but she's in the BDSM that's funny, hot nerd. Yeah, all right. So anyways, so she's now available as DLC for $5. I love me some Saints Row. I will never buy Agents of Mayhem.
Really? That's so surprising. Why didn't you end up getting this? I would have thought you would have been all over this.
Agents of Mayhem is not Saints Row. It's not, and the game is not that great, so no. Yikes. Thanks.
All right.
Maybe when it's like dirt cheap, it will probably someday be something I get in the Humble Bundle, but I'm never buying this game as it is right now.
But you're not mad at it because it's not Saints Row.
I am mad at it because it's not Saints Row, but I'm also mad at it because it's crap. And like, if it was a
why? Give me what one reason why it's crap.
The gameplay's cheap. All it's right. Just not. In as the missions are all basically the same, there's the humor that it seems very forced, and I don't like this whole, oh, it was originally going to be its own thing. Like, I remember when it first and it got announced, oh no, this isn't going to be Saints Row, we just want to come up with this new game, blah blah blah, and then they throw Johnny Gat in there, and all of a sudden now it's just a spin-off of the universe of Saints Row. It's like, okay dude, how much confidence did you have in your game where originally it was just going to be its own thing, but then you lost confidence in it, so now it's part of Saints Row because people like Saints Row. It's just, it's such a desperate attempt to get people to buy this game. No, thank you. I don't want to play this game. It's not Saints Row. Give me a fucking Saints Row game.
All right. Moving on to a game that I think Loki has less of a problem with. Actually, it may not be true because it's Konami's game, Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, yes. I hate Dance Dance Revolution.
Well, anyway. No, because it is 19 November, I should give a shout out to this this project going on in the community. They call it Delta Max. Why do they call it Delta? Delta is short for DDR Extreme Lots of Triple A's. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to perfect full combo all of the songs on DDR Extreme. That's 256 songs on DDR Extreme. That's kind of an older game at this point, but it was probably the most easy one to find in arcades for a long time because it was a big lull after that. So anyway, it started today. It started at 1 o'clock Eastern, and they're trying to go through as fast as possible and see how long it's going to take to perfect combo every song in the game. And I guess they had a Google Doc sheet to do this. Did they do it? Because the previous record was 7 hours, so it's already been 7 hours. So I want to know if they already beat it or not. I guess, should I go to the Google Docs sheet and see if they did it? Why not? I'm bringing it up right now. You're leaving Facebook to follow a link. I didn't know I was on Facebook in the first place. Let's see. Did they do it? They did, but I didn't see how long did it take them. Dr. Sue is going to have to break this down for me. I don't know how long it took him to do it. But I do know that Carlos got 68 of those combos, so he's number one. So good job, Carlos. All right. One more story about Pinball FX3. Pinball FX3 is been delayed a little bit on the Switch. It was supposed to be out by now, but it's coming out on the eShop early next month. However, Zen Studios is explaining why they've delayed it, and I gotta say, this does sound like a pretty rad reason. What they've done is they've added functionality so you can play vertical. So you can take your Switch and now turn it sideways, and you can play it vertically with a single Joy-Con. The single Joy-Con is meant to be attached to the console still to have that weight, so you hold the screen basically vertically, I guess kind of like by the Joy-Con, because there's no stand to hold it vertically.
What, so it took them 5 hours and 21 minutes.
Where'd you find that?
I was on their Facebook post.
Okay, well, there you go. Thank you. All right, 5 hours and 21 minutes. Well, that's extra time you can play Pinball FX3 on the Switch when it comes out. And the vertical mode. And that actually does sound kind of rad. And Zen Studios actually points out this was a suggestion of somebody at Nintendo who loves pinball to do this. So that's pretty neat. What do you think of that? That they're using the Switch's technology of basically being a handheld TV to flip the TV on its side and present the pinball vertically using more space.
PSP did it first.
Simpsons did it.
No, I mean, it's nice that they're actually doing that, but, like, you know, it's not innovative. It's just, it makes sense.
It's, I don't know. It sounds kind of cool. All right, let's travel around the world and check out what is in stores this week. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says they did this on the Vita version of Zen Pinball. I'm surprised this was a new revelation to them. All right, fine. It shows you how much I paid attention to the Vita. Let's travel around the world and check out what is coming out in stores this week. It might be slowing down a bit, though, with Thanksgiving being this week.
Yeah, I think it's definitely slowing down. They typically don't release a whole ton of stuff Thanksgiving week, so, you know. But this week, we do have a few things coming out. So starting off, we've got Lumo, which is on the Nintendo Switch. Gear Club Unlimited, also on the Switch. Project Nimbus Code Mirai on PlayStation 4. Super Beat Zonic on the Nintendo Switch. And, of course, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp on Android and iOS. Portal Knights coming out on the Switch. And I didn't realize this was a thing that was coming out, but I am super excited about this now that I've just discovered this again. I think it's either, I don't know if it's a spinoff or what, but they have the Earth Defense Force 4.1 Wing Diver, the shooter, coming out. So I don't remember if that was, I don't know if that's an expansion or if that's, I think that's just four, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
All right.
Traveling
over to Japan, it's not Thanksgiving over there, but I think things are still slowing down a little bit. But we do have, you know, some releases this week, including Hatsune Miku Project Diva Future Tone DX. I was going to say, I thought this game was already out, but this sounds like it's a DX version that's coming out. So that is going to be available from Sega, and that is out on the 22nd, so you can check that out. Otherwise, this week, let's see, looking at the Nintendo Switch, Breath of the Wild with some type of guidebook and world map limited edition. So I kind of thought this was already a thing that was out, but I guess this is just to match the Explorer's Edition that's out in the U.S., which sounds like it might be like a rebundling of the game for basically the holiday audience for people that didn't already buy it. I think that's what it is, where they're basically including some other physical garbage to make everything interesting again.
So Wing Diver the Shooter is a vertical shooter game set in the Earth Defense Force 4.1 universe.
Well, that'll be fun.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And the Vita, there's just one release, Kamidonami Sushi Gute Ore no Mirai ga Yabai, in regular and limited edition. And yes, that I said the Vita, because even though I'm not paying attention to the Vita here, people in Japan are still paying attention over there because they still release games on it. So that's really it for releases this week in Japan. I didn't check the 3DS, actually. Beyblade God is the lone release on the 3DS this week. How about the UK? Do you have that up, Logie?
No, but I can.
Okay.
So let's do that.
With Dark Soccer not being here, somebody's got to do it.
I'm sure they're getting probably the same stuff we're getting over here. Not a whole ton of things. So let's see. For this week, we've got actually nothing. I don't show anything on the list here. I would assume Animal Crossing is coming out probably in that region as well. So that's probably a thing.
Yeah, I mean, if we're getting it here, they should be getting it there, right?
Yeah, Eurogamer's lists are kind of vague on a lot of things, so I'm going to assume that Animal Crossing is coming out. So look for that.
And if you're wrong, then you're wrong.
And who cares?
All right. I got to get in the mailbag. I forgot I had to do this tonight. Every week, you guys send us emails, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we log into the mailbag and read some of our favorites here on the air. And I know we have at least a couple that came in this week, so I want to get to it. I thought we did. Where'd they go? I feel like this is sorted a different way than it used to be. Hold on. There we go. All right. Jamie messed up that mailbag while she was in there. Just kidding. All right. Let's get to it. We have a couple emails to read here tonight. The first email tonight is coming from Robert M. who emails us and says, the originally line-published Skullgirls mobile game and Pokemon Go just had somewhat significant updates. Double for the former Gen 3 ghost type for the latter. Which had me realizing, both are free games in which I've not seen a single ad. I don't have the option to watch ads for gems or coins. I don't have ads forced on me. There's just no advertisements, period. Of course, both games do have in-app purchases. I admit buying a few coins for a few cosmetics, okay, glasses, for my trainer before being able to earn coins in gyms. I admire these kinds of models and have to ask, besides probably Ingress, are there any apps on your phone or device which are A, free, B, ad-free, and C, you don't feel forced into in-app purchases for basic progression? Thanks and have a great week wherever you are. And I'll open that question up to the chat too, because, you know, I only have so many cell phone games that I play. You guys probably have many more. What games do you meet Robert M's specifications there? It's a free game, ad-free, and you don't feel forced in-app purchases for progression.
I don't have any of those. And unfortunately, the game I play, the Office Space one, it gets worse every week. Like, they keep introducing stuff. When I first started playing it, it was pretty straightforward how you play that. Now it's so fucking convoluted and complicated with, like, multiple currencies in there and just, like, all sorts of things that they want you to watch ads and, like, slow your progression down. It's just... it's a mess.
I would say, honestly, even Pokemon Go, I mean, as much as I enjoy that game and I play that game, like, if you don't know what you're doing or you live in a more rural area where you don't have a lot of Pokestops, you're going to run out of Pokeballs, you know, and so you're kind of forced into in-app purchases that way. I don't have that problem because I live in a bigger city. I've bought Pokeballs, though, before, and they have had a balancing thing that's happened, so you don't get as many potions now because you get those from raids. Which is a whole nother change, but
it would be cool, like, if you could watch like an ad or something once a day to get like 10 Pokecoins or like something ridiculously small.
My assumption is if more and more people abandon Pokemon Go, they'll go that route eventually. I mean, if they have to do ads to keep the lights on, then that's what they'll do. To Ingress's credit, with as long as I've been playing that game, you really aren't coerced into buying anything in that game.
Yeah,
and even the in-app purchases, like. I think I've maybe only ever spent, with as much as I've talked about that game on the show, you guys, I think I've maybe only ever spent $10 on Ingress.
Yeah, probably about the same.
Out in the game itself. Now, I've paid more gas in my car for this fucking
thing.
Data
plans.
I don't have to pay for that, thank God. But I've gone to Ingress live events, including there's one coming up in San Francisco on December 2nd, a live event, and I'm paying basically money to do that. So, you know, just a little bit. It's not a lot, but still, I mean, I guess there is that. Let's see. I'm trying to think of games I have on my phone. Well, there's Draconius Go, Pokemon Go's new little competitor.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Miitomo. I didn't really feel coerced into buying anything in Miitomo. I was playing that Nonstop Night for a while, and I don't remember really being coerced into buying stuff on that.
You can watch ads for crystals, and they have like a daily deal or like a deal that happens every few hours.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember watching a lot of ads.
You can do an ad for that.
Yeah.
Or like they'll do like, oh, you've been away for like a couple hours. You can double your money that you've earned during that time if you watch an ad or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I forgot about
but
that.
But it's not, you don't have to do it. But I mean, I don't know.
Let's see. Looking in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, let's see. Fifth Dream says Final Fantasy Brave Exvius kind of doesn't. It has an area with promotions for in-game purchases, but I don't notice anything that pops up telling you to buy things. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says the only cell phone game I have was Tiny Death Star on my old phone. Oh, sorry, that Tiny Tower. I remember when everybody was playing the shit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still a thing? Do people still play Tiny Tower? Is it ad-free? I don't remember. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, I doubt there are any free games that have no ads in them. Even the little word puzzle games I play that have a free puzzle every day have ads for their other puzzles in them. JD says, Pokemon Shuffle gets a little pay-to-win-ish, and I know people that bought money in Miitomo. If you got really serious about the dress-up, it has a bit of a coin
sink. What kind of phone does he have? Is it Android or iOS?
I don't think it was called out in the email, actually.
If you're looking for, like, games, you know what would be kind of fun is, like, I follow, like, a lot of different subreddits, and so one of them is the Unity 3D one, and so you'll see occasionally people will put their games up there, like, hey, go try out my game. And it's free. So you can go download it, and there's usually no ads and that type of stuff. So that's one thing to check out. Or just look, you know, the game dev forum, you know, game
dev. So something a little more under the radar from somebody who's just
and
a proud.
Sometimes there's fun stuff. Yeah. Like, there's a game I have called Flip Stuff that's kind of frustrating, but it's a game where you basically you flip an object and you try to get the land a certain way. And I've played that for hours at one time, and there's no ads in that. I mean, so it's you can find stuff that people make, and I don't know. It's kind of fun sometimes.
JD also points out Tiny Tower is definitely not ad-free, LOL. They have a new one, Tiny Tower Vegas. Well, it shows
there's
you
a lot of games.
I played that fucking
like
game in years.
Plants vs. Zombies and stuff that you've played before that now new versions are just it's this, remember, Plants vs. Zombies and PopCap, they're owned by EA. EA's evil. So, yeah, take it like I don't know what you expect.
All right. I've got another email here, one more this week, from Redertainment, who emails us, "Hello, peoples. I have a thought about the debate between digital copies of video games and physical copies of video games, a thought that encompasses other things. My inclination is toward physical copies of things because of price. The price of physical copies of things usually goes down over time due to a number of factors ranging from market forces to the retailer needing room for other things. Digital copies of things do not tend to go down over time. Sure, there's sales for digital goods, but prices are not the norm. And if we include sales as a reasoning for this argument, we also need to include sales of physical goods. Look up the price of an album released last year, specifically the digital version on iTunes and a physical version of the same album on Amazon, because you can't look up the price at your local independent record store as you read this because the store is closed right now." True. "I can guarantee the price of the physical version of the album is lower by at least a couple of dollars compared to the digital version. The same can be said of video games, books, TV shows, movies, etc., etc. Pie. There's a small wrinkle in this for me. Back in March, a number of big plastic tubs were stolen from a unit I had at a storage facility. Insert 2,000-word all caps rant about a police department you've never heard of here. For a few months after that theft, I preferred..." Wait, did the police steal your games? Like, what... What happened there? It sucks either way. Sorry to hear that. "For a few months after that theft, I preferred digital copies because while I did lose a good number of physical copies of vintage video games, I did not lose any of my digital copies of things. However, now that I've moved to a place where I have access to a secure storage unit, I'm back to preferring physical copies of things. Stay black, Redertainment. Yay, OLR is great. Jamie is rad. Loki is okay."
I sell for okay.
Well, thank you for that email, Redertainment. So, interesting kind of... It sounds like you've really gone back and forth on them. Is that whole shitty situation with the theft kind of made you see, like, oh, there is some value in digital because I don't lose shit digitally. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of nice to have the physical stuff. And you're right. The physical stuff tends to get discounted first for good or for worse. It almost ties into that what we were talking about earlier at the top of the show where I said... If a game is really worth $70, then fine, put the game out at $70. But we all know in the back of our head, it's going to end up in the bargain bin at $30 or $40 eventually.
Especially all that DLC. Oh, you want to charge me all this money for the DLC? You can't tell me you're going to have a Game of the Year edition that's coming out?
So the question is, how bad do I need that game now?
Subreddit Patient Gamers. That's...
But to be fair, the movie industry has had to deal with this since the 80s.
Yeah.
Because should I pay the $15? How much does it fucking cost to see a movie these days? It's expensive.
It's expensive because, like, you're talking
if
like...
If you cut out the popcorn and Junior Mint DLC...
I need it. That's why I go there half the time is to eat the popcorn.
Okay, but if you cut out the large Diet Coke DLC...
I don't. Like, see, that's the thing now. It's like, I get a small soda, which is still like a gallon of soda. And so...
I paid $45 a ticket to see a movie that came out in 1997 over the weekend, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. But they had drag queens doing a full pre-show, including, for those that follow that whole scene, Trixie and Katya were doing Romy and Michelle. So I'm sorry, worth every fucking penny that I paid to see that. And Dark Soccer, I'm sure we'll want to talk about that next week when she's back. But that certainly made me want to go see something in the theater. And I spent money on soda DLC. But anyway, the point I was trying to make, the movie industry has been dealing with this since the 80s. They said that VHS and the whole home video market was going to fucking kill them because nobody would go to the theater to see a movie anymore. But people still go to the movies. People still saw – did anyone see Justice League this weekend? I don't know how it did at the box office.
It
I didn't read the box office results.
I think people went and saw it. I don't know. I'm not going to go see it. Although I have taken a day off. I've taken the 15th off to go see Star Wars. But see, that day I'm planning on seeing Star Wars, Thor, I'm not sure about Justice League, but
Maybe. Okay. But
at least those two.
I haven't seen, but here's the thing. I'm not hating on Justice League because I haven't seen any movie at all since Shane dragged me to Power Rangers back in like March.
But you'll know, like Star Wars, they have opening shows at 9 a.m. that day.
Oh, sure.
So I'm letting you a full day of popcorn and unhealthy shit.
So anyway, but people still pay the premium money to go see something on the big screen as opposed to, I'll just wait for it to be on HBO or Netflix, you know, right? Which is kind of the modern, you know, since you say blockbusters are gone, which they are, you don't really wait for it on video anymore. Because if you buy the Blu-ray, you're going to play probably... Well, it depends on the size of your family.
Yeah.
If you take a family of four to see a new Pixar movie, it actually is cheaper to just buy the $30 Blu-ray.
It is much. I mean, like, even just one person going, like, you figure, like, say you don't go to a matinee, you're paying, like, $12 for a ticket. Food, like, popcorn and soda is probably going to run you at least $10. I mean, that's $22 at least right there. That's probably on the cheap side. So that's almost the price of a Blu-ray already. If not, you know, I don't know. I miss I miss Spider-Man in theaters, and I know we miss Cars 3. So I saw those on DVD the other day at the grocery store, so I was like, well, geez, I better acquire this through digital means.
But anyway, my point is, people will still pay the premium to see it first. Now, granted, it could be, is it the big screen having an effect? But I don't know. Like, you know, now that, you know, we got 4K TVs with, you know, super good refresh rates, sometimes watching movies at home almost looks better.
You know, and I think people, and eventually this might be a thing where people will pay a premium to, like almost like a pay-per-view type thing for, like, see Star Wars live on TV. But I think that it's getting
I think they've been playing with that a little bit. There are still some movies that come out on demand and in theaters the same day, but a lot of theaters hate that. They give the finger to it.
Yeah, right. And I think that's it's a delicate relationship between the movie studios and the theaters, because if they do that, that unfortunately will close a lot of theaters down if they're just, you know, they're not exclusive anymore. But you know, for certain movies, I'm like, I need to see that in the theater because it's just not going to be the same watching it at home.
All right. Anyway, that's it for the mailbag this week. If you guys want to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Squatch Killer in a chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, too expensive to take the whole family these days. I would rather watch a movie at home on a nice TV. Yeah, I mean, the movie industry isn't dying. I know a lot of people that feel very similar, and especially I'm sure the bigger your family gets, you know, a family of four is going to be expensive. If you have more than that, I mean, God, a $70 video game may actually be a cheaper form of entertainment than a night out of the movies. But yet the movie industry is thriving.
Well, you can't complain that, you know, the cost per hour of entertainment is going to be definitely lower on a video game because you're going to get, you know, hundreds of hours of entertainment out of that. Or at the very least, you're going to get more than 2 hours of entertainment.
Yeah, 20. We'll say 20
at the very least.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to save money that way. But, like, even with my kids, like, I try taking them to the movies all the time. But my youngest son, he's too little still to sit through a movie because he wants to crawl all over the goddamn place. Like, the last movie we saw was a Lego Ninjago movie. He was fucking everywhere.
You need a movie theater with a seatbelt.
It's just like, they'll watch movies, like, they'll watch, like, they've been watching, they've been binge watching, they picked the weirdest shit, too. The live action Scooby-Doo movies. Which, now that I've watched them so many times, aren't actually that bad. They're stupid, but they're as stupid as the show was. And for what they are, I think they're actually pretty well put together. So, you know, props to them for that. But yes, it's a really stupid movie. They'll watch it dozens of times.
Don't those movies have, like, marijuana references all over them,
too?
Oh,
God, yes, all the time. Like, but and they have, like, all sorts of small references in there. And
I love kid movies that have humor that only adults will get. That's, like, my favorite.
Yeah, they have, like, all sorts of weird shit. Like, sexual, like, tension and shit like that in the second movie. I mean, it's all over the place. But
it's, between Velma and Daphne, right?
Oh God, Velma! Like no, not even like Velma and Daphne. Like Velma and like Velma and Seth Green in the last movie, the second movie that they had. But like it's they've got like big name stars in it. It's just like I don't know. It's all right. It's not as irritating as I thought it would be.
All right. You should do quick movie reviews for Vogue. It's not as irritating as I thought it would
seriously,
be.
Seriously, there's some movies like seriously like you would think. The Angry Birds movie. That sounds like a shitty fucking idea. It was actually an entertaining movie. Maybe my standards are just lowering that much because I've been forced to watch all these kids' shows.
Loki's review of Angry Birds, the movie. I thought it would be shitty, but it was actually pretty good.
It was actually kind of funny. They had a lot of adult humor in there. And also, was it Bill Hader does voice acting? So I love Bill Hader. Can't hate on the hater.
All right. Let's see if we can hate on the gaming news. I hope not. There's too much hate out there in the gaming
yes,
industry.
Yes, we can, actually.
Now that I just looked up and saw what the first story was, I was like, oops. I put my foot in my mouth so bad. I guess
yes, because
we can
if
hate
it's,
on this.
If it's,
yes.
This week, if it wasn't about Star Wars and the shitty DLC, it was about, hey, which celebrity's sexually harassing someone now? Or, hey, let's tie it back in the game industry. IGN, there's drama going on there. Apparently, there is some former employees that have sexually harassed people and some shenanigans that are going on there. So, basically, they're saying that they put out a statement saying that there won't be a daily fix today because of a large number of groups of IGN employees have refused to work until the company issues a statement of apology regarding what happened to Kaylee Plague, or I think that's how you say the name, saying basically referring to a former coworker who I guess on Friday had accused the company of an HR department mistreating her. And so that's their daily show. They were saying that apparently that they... she had to deal with, someone that was making, more and more uncomfortable sexual nature comments to her. And basically the kind of sound like the HR department was kind of trying to brush it under the rug type thing. With the whole Harvey Weinstein thing, everybody's coming out about this stuff. And I'm not surprised. It's everywhere. It's all industries have shitty people in it. You're not going to find an industry that does not have shitty people in it. And it's just like, God, I hope it's not this person that I really like. I mean, they had like George Takei. You had, what's the senator's name?
Al Franken.
Al Franken. They've had lots of different actors that have had.
Turn on a television.
Yeah, I mean, it's just anywhere. All over the place. Every day, it's something.
Yeah.
Well,
unfortunately. This is a result in this whole like garbage parade that's happening right now, and I mean garbage people being paraded out of these different jobs. What's happening here is a result of an industry, especially Hollywood, where this shit's been bottled up way too long, and collectively, people are putting their foot
down.
We're just
scratching the surface on like the skeletons in the closet in that industry. Oh God!
So we're and obviously everything Hollywood bleeds into video games here and there, and it's really not escapable, unfortunately, in any industry. So I mean, you're seeing just now, the result of people coming together, putting their collective foot down, and saying we're not taking this shit anymore. Which also leads to some questions about how much evidence do we need to convict a person? It's one thing when it's Kevin Spacey and there's, 40 people all lined up to talk about what an issue he has with Harvey Weinstein. But then you got George Takei where it's one. And that's
my thing.
I don't. It's hard. I don't think there's an easy answer to that scenario.
At all. And that's my thing too. And I don't think I've ever put out anything out regarding this. But this is basically my opinion on this scenario. Is not that I want to distrust everybody, but I question everything I read. I question everything because you have to, because there's been so many scenarios. Not to say that there's not guilty people out there, but there's been so many scenarios where. Someone is accused of something. It could be like something sexual assault or sexual abuse or something like that. It comes out, find out later that, it was actually made up and the damage has already been done. Whereas, these people, I agree, people should be coming forward with this stuff, especially if it's happening, but we shouldn't be so quickly to jump on board and judge these people without having all the facts. And that's kind of where my issue is I'm seeing a lot more people coming out, which is great. I think more people should come out and bring a lot of this stuff to light. But I'm worried that people are going to be opportunistic about it and find out. Like, because with the Al Franken thing, don't get me wrong, it seems like it's a stretch. He took full responsibility for it as well, but it seems very political because the person making the accusation is very much affiliated with the conservative movement, and it's just very kind of the timing of the thing is kind of convenient. But
convenient with what's going on with Roy Moore, sure.
Right.
Sure.
It's just very convenient. So I'm worried that we're going to see more of these things, you know, coming out where it's more to kind of attack a person because, well, we don't want to not believe somebody because then you look bad if you don't believe them. But I just argue that, you know, we should at least show some sort of caution with believing everything that we read until we know all the facts or have more corroborating evidence or something like that, instead of just jumping. And this goes for any side, for someone, you know, defending themselves and someone making the accusations. We need to know all the facts before we can kind of judge a person.
I think too, and not to get too far off topic, but obviously this is a topic that's consumed a lot of the media, as you said recently. You know, I think we all have to kind of look at this, and I think if we all kind of look at this and go, you know, this is a shitty world. This is not the type of environment. This is not the type of humanity that we want to be. I think we all have to make a conversation to say no more. And we are, and it starts with you. Make a conscious effort. I'm not going to sexually harass somebody. I'm going to teach my children and the people that I influence not to sexually harass people. And I think that's where it starts. And that's where we're going to have to build this better future, because unfortunately we can't fix what's happened in years and years of Hollywood.
Right.
We're not going to be able to go back and undo that, because
right,
that shit does permanent damage. All we can do is we have to make this better for the next generation.
Or make it easier for
today forward,
people to come forward instead,
yes,
of learning about it 40 years later or, you know, several years later about something that happened in the past. Find out about it now so we can stop it now, instead of, oh, I can't speak up because I'm afraid this will hurt my career or something like that.
Right. Although that's a valid, I mean, we understand why people feel that way. That's,
yes,
important,
exactly,
too. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. We got way off topic, but understandably so. It is something that's, you know, spilling into the gaming industry, unfortunately. So, you know, just you need to stop this culture. And it's not cool or any of that stuff. You know, it needs to stop. All right, moving on. Let's talk about movies, but the type of movie news we like to talk about, and that is video games becoming movies. Well, do we like to talk about that? Because usually it doesn't end well.
Well, there's Rampage as a trailer for that, so
I wasn't feeling the Rampage trailer.
It
still goes back to the question of, why do we need this?
Well, the problem, like, with that movie, at least the trailer, is it didn't seem like it barely tied in with the whole game as it was.
I guess is fine. A lot of those 80s games don't exactly have the biggest plot anyway. But we all saw how Battleship turned out, which also doesn't have much of a plot to the game.
And then the new
Jumanji
that's coming out, both also starring The Rock. What the fuck is with The Rock and being on the Rock? He's rocking the schlock. I mean, I don't know why he's in all these. And, like, this movie right here looks – it's funny because he did a movie just recently called San Andreas, which was kind of schlocky as well. And it looks very similar to that. And I don't know. I mean, I'll be interesting to hear how it turns out. I wish it was more like the story of the game.
Well, anyhow, we actually weren't going to talk about the Rampage thing, but there you go. But I did want to talk about that it looks like a new Mario Brothers movie is going to be attempted. So we're just going to forget the whole, you know, Dennis Hopper as King Koopa thing never existed.
Never forget that, though.
We're just going to kind of erase that. Because now they're talking about an animated film, and it's going to come from Universal Animation. Not too outside the realm of possibility, because Universal, we know, has already teamed up for the theme park stuff, right? So it makes sense, uh-huh, that if any film studio is going to have dibs on this, it's probably Universal, right? Universal Animation in talks to make this. Universal Animation, of course, behind Shrek and the Minions.
Which
Kate takes me back to a quote from The Good Place. I won this little yellow demon.
The Minions, you know, honestly, like, having watched the Minions movies several dozen times now, it's it honestly is very well animated, and the story isn't all that bad. If there's going to be a studio that has to do it, good choice. I see no problems with this.
There's a really good friend of mine, and I'm not going to say who on air. There's a really good friend of mine. Like, the way I feel about mayonnaise is the way he feels about Minions.
They're not really... I mean, it's a silly movie. Yes, the characters are forced down our throats because they're fucking everywhere. But it's not that... I mean, if you actually watch the movies, it's not that annoying. They're actually pretty entertaining. It's silly. Like, the whole Minions thing, like, the Minions movie was set more like... It's kind of that, like,
My friend is not alone. Fifth Dream in chat says, can't fucking stand Minions.
I don't know. It wasn't that bad.
All right. Anyway, film reviews by Loki. It wasn't that bad. Anyhow, there you go. So that's all we know. This is according to a Wall Street Journal report saying Nintendo and Universal are close to signing the deal, which would kind of be a step in a different direction, because we thought
Nintendo...
Weren't
they close to signing a deal with Sony at one time? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Who knows?
But, Nintendo has kind of said they're not going to license their properties for movies anymore. But, as the years go by...
It's been a while.
It's been a while, and, why not? If the script is really good, maybe animated is a good place for that to be. I'd be curious who they get to do the voices. Do you think they'd get Charles Martinet to voice Mario? I doubt it.
I hope so.
And no disrespect to Mr. Charles Martinet, who's a fantastic voice acting talent. The unfortunate thing is his name on the poster. Most people don't know who that is. They're going to cast somebody like Bill Hader or whoever it is you like. It's going to be like a Saturday Night Live comic.
If Bill Hader wants to do it, he probably could do it. And Bill Hader can do no wrong. I'm sorry. Like, he's hilarious. He's a great comedy. He's a great comedy writer, and he does great voices and impressions. So I have no problem with him doing all of the voices, some of the voices. I think he'd be great. But no, I'm sure they'll get somebody to do Mario's voice. Millions of people can do Mario's voice.
Hopefully Charles Martinet gets to do a cameo somewhere, do a voice. That would be a very nice thing to do.
That's why he wouldn't be, like, considered. I mean, they'd probably at least have him try out.
Yeah. We'll see. Who knows? Do you hear? Mr. Smush, he snores when he sleeps. It's so adorable. Did you hear that?
Sort of, yeah.
Sorry. He's so cute.
It's that squished up nose.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. Anyhow, moving on. Loki. He can hear it, right? He's like super loud.
I don't want to wake him up. Oh, he's awake.
It happens.
I'm going to try to pick it up on the...
That's what cats do.
All right. Anyways, so HTC announced that they're going to be doing a standalone headset called the Vive Focus. It's going to basically be like the Oculus headset that they have. Coming out, where it doesn't require a PC or phone. It's a headset, and it's also very blue looking, which I don't really care for that, but whatevs. Apparently they're saying that they're going to be available only in China initially, and there's not really seeing what the pricing is going to be or anything like that. However, because of this, they're not going to be working with Google though on a standalone Daydream headset. So, but it will, I guess, apparently, work similar to the Vive headset now, where it does room scale and all that. So it'll be interesting to see how much that is and what the games and applications look like on that. I don't know. I'm still worried about these like standalone headsets, but I'll check it out.
VR's got to catch on in the mainstream one of these times. It's getting the cost down is the way to do it, though.
It is, and it's funny. Like, I was watching a review on the Acer mixed reality headset that they have, which mixed reality sounds like it's going to be like some augmented reality thing, but it's actually just a VR headset that's for $399. And originally their thing was, oh, well, our headset's going to be $399. That's what's going to make it sell. But then Oculus dropped the price of their headset back in August, and it's like, why is this thing even coming out now? But I guess the headset quality isn't quite up to what some of these other headsets are. So I'm more interested in seeing what the next generation of these headsets are going to be, come maybe even next year. I don't know. Soon? Next couple years?
Soon.
All right. Well, this website won't work for this story I'm trying to do live. Do you have the about the? I can Google it from somewhere else, but I wanted to talk about what's going to be playable at PlayStation Expo.
Okay, let's talk about it. So, PlayStation Expo got quite a few different exhibitors. So, starting off with the titles that are going to be there. Let's see, do they have? It's just listing all the titles. So, I'm assuming these are all playable. So let's see. Starting off, we've got 20XX.
Okay, we're not reading this entire list. No, there's too many. Wait, I'm going to – I finally got a list here. I'm going to look through it. It does look like there's quite a list of games there. But that's – 20XDX, that game is fun. I didn't – that's coming out for PlayStation 4?
Apparently it
is. I didn't even know that. That's great. I did a live stream of that a while ago.
This
that's
is
cool.
Kind of neat. Aegis Defenders, which apparently is a Humble Bundle game.
Mm.
I mean, because, you know, they're – you know, publishing stuff now.
The first expansion to Destiny 2 is going to be there. DJ Max Respect, which I've been waiting to hear about a North American release for that, for you music game fans. That'll be fun. Brawlhalla, Fantasy Strike, Street Fighter V Arcade Edition.
Gran Turismo Sport.
Mm-hmm. Yakuza 6, The Song of Life. I don't know why, but they're putting all those Uncharted games still out on the floor to play, because why not? It's Sony's show.
Monster Hunter World.
Shadow of the Colossus.
That'd be really cool.
People, yeah, waiting to check that out. So, sounds like it's going to be a fun show. I wish I had room to do one more expo this year, but I can't. I'm out of PTO and all that. Maybe if I hadn't done the Seattle trip, but I don't regret doing that. It was a real relaxing time, so.
And then I'm looking at the VR titles that they have here. Gungrave looks kind of neat. I don't know what half these are. Why do they have Resident Evil 7 Biohazard as a VR title? I mean, it's one of the better titles on VR.
Maybe
but
they're adding something
to like
it.
It's like, you'll be like almost a year old by then. I'm like, honestly, put on Until Dawn Rush of Blood because that game is fucking awesome.
It's free. Everybody can just download that to their own system now.
It's so good. I mean, seriously, if you have PlayStation VR, you haven't played it yet, go play it. It's awesome.
All right. Let's get to the next news story and get to the calls soon at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. We have a couple more stories first, though.
So Ubisoft, I guess, can kind of breathe a little bit because apparently Vivendi has said that they're not going to try to take over Ubisoft for at least 6 months. So Vivendi has released their third quarter financials, and apparently they're saying that they do not expect to attempt to take over of Ubisoft until the next half of the financial year. And I guess right now they own 26% in Ubisoft. And I guess they're saying due to a French accounting law, purchasing another 4% of the company triggers a requirement for Vivendi to either purchase the video game publisher or to back off. So they say, in anticipating that, Ubisoft granted double voting rights to the majority shareholders. Be interesting to see what happens, because I know the last company that they purchased didn't end up doing too well.
Yeah, people were not a fan of this whole takeover news either. So I don't know why they're still trying it, but I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what
money.
Investors think.
It's all about money.
It's all about the investors and money. It's all about that. Well, you know what gamers love, to end on this note tonight? Gamers love rumors. That's right. We've got so many rumors to talk about here at the end of the show, but that's why I'm putting it at the end of the show, because it is just rumors. Who knows if it's going to be true or not? This comes from Reddit. Via a member, Das Vergben, if I said that right. Apparently, a lot of news and rumors. Now, why do we care about what some rando on Reddit has to say? Apparently, this same person called the Ninja Turtles in Injustice 2 thing, which I don't think anybody could have predicted. So that's why suddenly this is these rumors are getting a little more credit. But what do we think? We're going to measure these on the plausibility scale. Is it plausible or not? Number one, a Switch port of Dragon Ball FighterZ is in the works and will likely come out in fall and winter of 2018.
Yeah, I guess.
I say yes, the Switch is doing very well. This makes a lot of sense for this to happen. Soul Calibur 6 is in development for the Nintendo Switch.
PlayStation 4, and PC. It's going to be unveiled at the PlayStation Experience. Link will return as a guest character on the Switch version.
I mean, if it's going to come out on the Switch, then I would see Link as being a character.
Soul Calibur 6.
Boring, though.
No,
like, is Link as a guest character? He's been a guest character on every, you know, how many...
Yeah, but Soul Calibur 2 is so awesome with him. Ah. I mean, you know, the GameCube version of that was the must-have.
I would hope that they have more guest characters than just one. How about that?
Well, the interesting thing, though, about... I mean, one thing you got to point out there was Soul Calibur 6, no Xbox in that. And who knows if that's online play, although they... Sony's the one that's holding out on that now, so I don't know if maybe
I doubt it would be online play.
Maybe they're agreeing to do it with Nintendo and just not Microsoft, or the fact that the game is, you know, Japanese developed and Microsoft's a non-factor in Japan now. Maybe. So it'll be interesting. But, I mean, I would think a sixth Soul Calibur has to happen at some point, so that alone seems like, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. That would be a cool game to reveal, especially with... You know, a lot of people really into Tekken 7 right now make, you know.
Hmm.
I'd be curious who would be the guest characters on the other platforms, PC and Sony. Would they just go back and do Heihachi again on PlayStation and then maybe Spawn moves to PC instead of being Microsoft? Well, which I guess, well, in a way, PC is Microsoft, so who knows?
I don't know if they'd do Spawn. Who even likes Spawn nowadays?
Hmm. Bob Coffey says, not going to happen. Not until Harada is done with Tekken 7. Hmm. All right.
Whatever happened to Tekken Cross Street Fighter? Is that ever going
to
happen?
Yeah, whatever happened to that? There has been pressure on Game Freak to get Pokemon's 8th generation out in hopes of a release next year. If you recall Pokemon Stars, that is or was real, but all it was a Sun and Moon port to the Switch used as an engine test tech demo thing. In my opinion, that's a whole lot of nothing. That there's really nothing that can be amounted from that. Because the new Pokemon game might be out next year. Of course they're going to try to push to get it out next year. Why wouldn't they? But as far as there's this tech demo thing that may or may not actually exist, I don't think we'll ever know on that one. So there's really a whole lot of nothing with that. Metroid Prime 4 should have something revealed with in-game footage early next year. A direct in January. Bandai Namco is developing the game for Nintendo, unknown which development studio. That's a pretty big one. Bandai Namco could actually be developing the game for Nintendo.
Hmm.
Hmm. What do you think? Plausible? Not plausible.
We'll see something eventually, probably by E3 next year.
I think this is a very safe bet, but I think January may be too early for a direct on that. Okay. Hold on, because Mr. Smush is scratching the couch. I don't want him to scratch the couch. Stop scratching the couch. All right.
Just cut the nails off, and then you won't have that problem.
No, I'm not going to claw the kitty.
No, you don't need to claw the kitty. Just, you know.
File the nails. Yeah.
You know,
I'm trying to get him to use the scratching post to do that. Yeah. But, yeah, I know. We're going to have to. Or get him those little nail holder things. I have to look into how, you know, if
I just trim my cat's nails. Usually it's because she uses it on me. And so when she, when she's laying on me, she kneads and it's like, stop clawing into my arm. Like, I'll look at my arm and there's like scratches all down it.
See, Sanrio was very good about using the scratching post, so she never really had a problem. But I think we might be challenged a little bit with this one.
That's all right.
Sorry I keep talking about the cat, but it's brand new. He just got here
and
yesterday.
It doesn't hide from us when we're doing
the
show.
The kitty doesn't hide from us. All kitty wants to be here front and center. If we ever do go video, you're going to see him through the whole show. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? Mother 3 is real. It was localized and playable. It is being held back for some reason, which all I know has something to do with not knowing which month to release it in. That sounds not plausible.
That sounds like a whole bunch of bullshit.
It does, because, okay, sure, Mother 3 is maybe done, probably done, tested, but this whole, they don't know what month to release it in? What?
That's bullshit.
I don't believe that part. Let's see. And lastly, here's another big one. Blizzard is preparing a Hearthstone port for the Switch. I heard about this when I went to BlizzCon.
I guess it's plausible. Unity ports to the Switch, so why not?
It might die down some of the people that want Overwatch to come to the Switch if Blizzard does support the Switch with Hearthstone. It makes sense for the Switch more than other platforms because of the touchscreen, which, you know, it does with the mobile and I don't know. I guess it makes sense if that's yeah.
It's something it would be able to run.
Although it does seem a little fan wanky to me, but I think it would be a good idea. I think that could be a win-win situation, but we'll see. So, all right. And Bobby Blackwolf says all Blizzard needs to put out on the Switch is Rock and Roll Racing. All right, there you go for rumors this week. Let's get to the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and share your thoughts on anything we've talked about or maybe haven't gotten around to yet on the news this week. I'm going to ask Loki over there if he has any last-minute stories that he wants to get to before we...
I don't.
Uh-oh. I got to buy time here somehow. Is there any games that you're hoping to pick up during this holiday season?
I'd be curious to see what's on sale, on the Steam sales and stuff. I really have a huge backlog, though, and I'm very aware of that. If anything, maybe the South Park game, but I'm really trying not to pick up too many games because... I buy them and then I don't end up playing them. I want to finish the Lego game right now just so that my kids can play the free mode, because that's really all they want to play. They're not good at cooperating, so I can't have them play like the actual game. I don't know. Maybe I like to still get Lego Dimensions, but it's really fucking expensive and it's still hard to find that stuff.
It's hard to find the Lego Dimensions stuff now?
It is. They don't sell it anymore.
I guess a lot of places must have unloaded it.
A lot of places have unloaded it, or they haven't
marked
it
down. One more shout out for the Skype line, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype.
And then, of course, you know, I have to work on developing my game because I haven't been doing that for weeks now.
Hey, the phones are lighting up, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Kaijudo.
Hey, Kaijudo. What's up, buddy?
I want to talk about the email that you got. I can't remember the person's name, sorry, but they were talking about the digital versus physical.
I believe that was Redertainment.
All right. Well, for a long time, I've been somebody who's always said, you know, buy physical. I don't want to deal with digital. And one of the main reasons is because I noticed how much space a lot of these games take up on your hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of flipping a little bit because I feel like digital and physical are like one and the same now because they all download to your hard drive now. So you're not really saving. In my case, I'm not really saving any space on my hard drive. So normally I just go with digital just because I'm like, I noticed that some of my games I like the most, that I play the most, like Fight Night Champions on Xbox 360. That thing has like a little crack in the center of the disc. And I'm just like, you know, I've noticed this with my other games. So I'm like, why even bother with a game that's going to crack, get scratched up when I can just go digital, have it there, because it's basically going to take up the same amount of space that it would if I had it on disc. Like, the only games I will buy now are, like, games that I want a physical copy. Like, I want to collect them, whatever. Like, I just got the Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
That I would never get digital. I always get the, you know, I love having the little, you know, a little cartridge. Put them with the rest of my collection, that type of thing. You know, and there's some other games like that for PlayStation 4 and the other, like, CD systems. But I'm finding myself buying a lot more digital now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I still tend to do physical, and a lot of that is because of price and because I do have Amazon Prime, they sure don't warn you when you're years about up on that, because my thing got charged for that all of a sudden. I was like, when did it go up to, like, $100? But I'll still use it throughout the year. So with the shipping and the Twitch Prime and everything that comes with it. But one other thing that you get is the discount on newer games. So honestly, I get physical games cheaper because I buy them through Amazon Prime. So it's actually cheaper for me to get it than digital.
Are you really getting them? I mean, because like I don't do a lot of online shopping. Like I go right into the GameStop, pick up my game that way. So are you really saving that much money, or are you basically spending around the same price that you would normally spend if you just walked into a store and physically bought it?
20% is what I'm saving. So
with the shipping, handling, all that stuff, because I know the shipping gets crazy.
No,
you
if, get you
like
Amazon,
$7
if you have Amazon
shipping.
Prime, you're not paying anything. So, oh, okay. Well, it's a double-edged sword. You're paying the $100 for Amazon Prime, but you never pay shipping for anything throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you buy, and I take it that you buy a lot of games, but you're not just buying like,
oh, sure,
two games a year or something. All right, well,
oh, sure.
Yeah,
I
guess it pays for you.
It does, yeah. For me, it ends up paying for itself, and then I get the Amazon TV and the Twitch stuff and, you know, everything else they have, you know, involved with that. But to be fair, I know a lot of people have been having problems with Amazon, like serious problems. We heard Act Deft call in a couple weeks ago with him getting fucked around on the SNES Classic. So Amazon is not infallible. So far for me, I've never had a problem with them, knock on wood.
But what if, you know, God forbid, Amazon's not around anymore? How do you see yourself purchasing your games? Like, if you had to, like, go the route that I'm going, where, like, I'm walking in the store and getting it, or I'm buying it off of my PlayStation or something like that, what would you do?
I would still probably shop around a little bit for the best special, because even...
Lies. No, I'm joking. Okay.
Even with the physical, like, sometimes Best Buy might be, if you buy it here, we'll give you a $5 gift card. So I might go buy it at Best Buy for that reason. Unless maybe the digital version will be like, but if you buy it here, you get this extra map and this extra skin or whatever. And I might be like, all right, I'll just get a digital. I will say this, even though I talk about physical, one thing I have tended to do digital for is PC. I don't remember the last time I bought a physical PC release.
Good luck trying to buy a physical PC release.
That's the
nowadays, like,
exactly.
If you buy a physical PC release, a lot of times they just come with a Steam code inside of it, and it's what's the point?
But it is worth saying, I do buy digital when it's PC.
Yeah, one of my prized possessions is I have a freaking Torchlight. I got it on disc somehow. I'm like, I didn't even know this game was on disc. I just found it in a freaking basket at like a GameStop. Like, I just found like a hidden gem. Like, you rarely see any PC games on the shelf.
Unfortunately, the value of that's about to go up with the whole studio getting closed, which is a bummer.
Yeah, but I don't think I would ever sell it. I mean, I love Torchlight, and I was just surprised I actually had a physical copy of it, because I had already bought it off of Steam. And I'm just like, oh, but with the physical, I think they gave me like a ferret or something. So you get like a different animal.
Oh, yeah. All right.
With the CD version. Yeah.
That's cool. There you go. See, it's all about what little extras, what little extra things are.
Yeah,
there.
I get it. But it's still, like I said, for me, it's taking up space. That's my whole thing, is like preserving space on my hard drive. And now I'm glad that the PlayStation 4, you can use like an external hard drive and that type of stuff. Because that's always been my main issue with the physical thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem.
I'll let some more people get in.
Good question. It was a good topic. All right. Take care, my friend.
All right, man.
Bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Come on, Noel Gus in our chat says, I paid like $30 for a Best Buy Gamers Club unlock, and I get 20% off for pre-orders and a $10 certificate for some games. The discount applies to Amiibos too. Yeah, I have friends that do the Best Buy thing, and they really like it. I haven't been convinced to get it because I kind of feel like, well, Amazon matches it for all but Amiibos, really. The only Amiibo I've bought in the past few months is that Princess Peach Amiibo, and I bought that Amiibo for one specific reason. That it's a well-made Amiibo. MXC in chat says, visual novels get a surprising amount of physical PC releases, often still with a disc and a downloadable key. There's a lot of physical collectors in the fandom. That's true. There are still some physical PC releases. It's just there's so much that's digitally done because of storefronts like Steam and Humble and so forth. Last call for any phone calls tonight, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I can't believe we're about, a month away from the holidays. Crazy.
Yeah.
We are planning on being here for all the shows throughout December. I forgot to look at what day the holidays fall on this year. I want to say Christmas Eve might have been a Sunday coming up. I got to look at my calendar again. Yeah, Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year, so I don't necessarily know
probably
where to do a show that night.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hope, because New Year's Eve will be on a Sunday too, and I am not going to want to do a show on New Year's Eve. Sorry, guys. I know a countdown show would be fun. But hopefully we can maybe do a show at a different day in the week. That might be what we end up doing.
What about earlier in the day?
On New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
I could be talked into that if Jamie wants to do that too, because I don't really think I'll go out of town. Maybe that could be a day we do a show timed for overseas folks, because we've talked about doing that for a while. Like, do a noon show.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So... maybe.
Besides, don't we?
Maybe see if Bobby wants to do it. Not
so
to put him on the spot.
I don't
see
remember
Bobby wants to do
when we decided that we're doing this, but don't we have a time capsule to open?
We do. That'll be the New Year's Eve show, probably the end of the year.
Awesome.
We do have the time capsule. We have to. I honestly forgot what's in it.
I forgot what's in it too.
Know,
like, I don't remember.
I don't even remember what the fucking prompt was for that time. I think it was just like end of the year prediction.
Which I probably have written down on a piece of paper.
Which I remember we were already getting tweets like, "Really, you're doing." end of the year predictions like 6 months into the year or so forth. Like, that is the attention span of gamers. I could go back and listen to the episode and I'd hear everything that's in there, but that would defeat the fun. Yeah, even in, look, even in the chat, Dark Tetsuya is like, oh yeah, and SG100 Matt's like, I forgot as well. All right. So yeah, we will open it on the New Year's Eve show. Whether we do that on New Year's Eve or we do it a couple days before to allow our host to have the whole day off, we'll see. I need to talk to Miss Sakura about that one. But I feel like earlier in the day on New Year's Eve will probably work for everybody. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So anyhow, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show tonight. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, or even if you didn't, but you know somebody who might like it, tell a friend or two or 50 about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the gamers are here to share their voices. We really appreciate a 5-star review wherever you found this podcast, especially places like iTunes, Android. All those go a long way, especially if you write a little blurb that's like, Rob is great. Jamie is awesome. Loki is okay. Those 5-star reviews go a long, long way. We really appreciate it. Tell a friend. That's all we ask. Thank you to our live crowd for being here live Sunday night. Thank you to our podcast crowd for listening to us throughout the week. We appreciate you both. Thank you so much for being here and supporting independent podcasting. Even if you didn't like this show, we hope you'll support some independent podcaster that's out there. Because Mr. Schmush told you to, didn't he? Didn't he, Mr. Smush? All right. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is hopefully we'll play my VR games this week, because I have a backlog of them. And there's so many to play.
And then my final thought for tonight is I hope I get more sleep tonight and Mr. Smush doesn't keep me up late like he did last night, jumping up on the bed and stuff. But that's the joys of having a cat now that's a lot younger. 3 years is what the vet estimates. 3 years old as opposed to a 17-year-old that couldn't give a single solitary fuck about trying to jump up on anything. So there you go.
So, I was trying.
He knows. Like, the minute he started snoring, I was like, oh god, I wish I could pick that up on the mic. But the minute Loki like shifts in his chair, he perks up. Like, what are you doing, asshole? All right. Does Mr. Schmush have a final thought tonight?
He's
being shy. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.